Butter bei die Hühnen. Folge 39. Mit Gage Worsley und Neo Laumann. Best Chip is Friendship. Moin und herzlich willkommen zur Folge 39 unseres Butter bei die Hühnen Podcasts. Und ich freue mich heute, dass wir hier wieder zu fünft sitzen. Heute hat Björn uns eingeladen. Danke dir, Björn, für Gastfreundschaft.
Sehr gerne.
Und freue mich, dass du dabei bist. Und zur Linken von mir auch Kajetan, nicht in Polen, auch live dabei.
Ja, moin auch von mir.
Und ganz herzlich möchte ich unsere beiden Gäste begrüßen. Moin, Neo Laumann.
Moin, freut mich sehr, hier zu sein, hallo.
Und hello, Gage Worsley.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Finally. Yeah. After what we have been hesitating for a while.
3 years? Yeah, 3 years now. Yeah. 3 years.
So, but you were first on our list, so for maybe more than 1 year, two years already, but we were afraid we wouldn't understand. But now we have Björn here, and perfect. Björn's English is better than ours, so...
Nah, it's perfect. I'll make sure, like I said, I will. I'll make sure not to start talking too fast here, because I have a bad habit of that.
We'll stop you if you do.
Wir haben das Gage erklärt für die Audience von euch. Wir haben hier vor uns einen Buzzer. Wenn Gage zu schnell wird, dann wird der Buzzer gedrückt und dann hoffe ich. Er hat aber auch alles versprochen, dass er ruhig ist. Langsamer wird so rum. Quatsch. Okay. So, wir werden wie üblich mit einem englischen Teil beginnen und dann geht es in einen kleinen Contest zwischen den beiden, zwischen Neo und Gage, und danach switchen wir ins Deutsche sozusagen wieder. Genau, und sind wir ganz gespannt, was sich heute so entwickelt. So, let's change in English and who wanted to start the...
I guess that's my part.
Yes, so okay, Björn. I think so too.
Gage, I want to say we go way back, but
yeah, like, of course, for three years I've known you.
Third season
here, but so this is our third year knowing each other.
Yeah, yeah, damn, yeah. It's been a while. Yeah, it's all Colton's fault.
Nah, the pleasure is mine.
He started it.
He did start it. He did.
But look at me, I'm still here.
Here we are.
It's not that bad. So, like, I guess most of the people know you already since you've been here for a few seasons, but like, away from the court, they barely know you.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, I think Neo, you can probably help me with this. Away from the court, I would say, well, I have a brother. For those of you who don't know, he played here.
We saw him recently.
Yeah, we saw him recently. He wasn't so happy.
He was pissed, yeah. pissed.
He was very mad at me. Well, not me, but
just,
you know,
at you?
At the night. Yeah, I come from California and America, and I went to, people think I'm from Hawaii, but I went to college, university in Hawaii, and that's the big difference. But I live in San Francisco area. Off the court, I'm very loose, I would say. Although I'm the second oldest guy on the team, I would not say I'm the most serious guy. I would say I'm very loose, very, I don't know how... Very, obviously, yeah, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but people have seen the videos we put out, and it's not very serious a lot of the time. But also, I love movies. I love comics. But those are some things that I guess people don't really know about me, is I love to just, for me, the biggest thing, because since we come overseas, is I like having a nice media setup. So media, streaming services, just something where, and luckily SVAL Gay gave me a really nice TV. I didn't steal my brother's Xbox, but I bring my brother's Xbox, and I put all my shows and my streaming services on there, and try to make it like a home theater, because my dad kind of built like a mini home theater in our home back in California. And so I try and do the same here, and yeah, those are some of my interests off the court, I would say.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd support that you're a... Some people call it weird.
Are you talking about movies or comics?
Not just your character overall.
Yeah, no, it is weird. I would say weird, for sure.
Okay.
I think, no, my it's when you, for me, it's also an outlet. So for me, I, my brother and I have a business together, and part of that business is, you know, creating videos. And I really enjoy it. So that's like a cool thing that for me. Nao, I want to give a shout out to Nao as well too. Nao Help has been coming up with great ideas this year for videos. Also, my right hand man Blake Leeson, us three together, or I would say content machines. I would say, but it's something that I really really enjoy, and people don't realize it, but it is a second job. So whenever I'm not an SVL gay. Mm-hmm. We go home and people, obviously people just see the funny videos, but there's so much more that goes behind it on a business end. That my brother handles mostly, heads up, but like any big stuff that needs to be done, we do together. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So getting the ideas for the content is like a team effort from you guys.
Yeah, yeah. So how much time do we have per day just to think? We have lifting for what, 2 hours? 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then practice 2.5. That's 5 hours of your day, maybe. So that's five on like a double day. So like that's once or twice a week. So think about that. You have 5 hours of work. I mean, that's really hard work physically. And you got to make sure also that come game day that you're ready to go. So then, but you have all this time, you know, in between the next time. So it's a lot of rest. So you have a lot of off time. And for, I guess, us three, the guys that I named, our brains are just kind of wired that way. Where we just kind of think about the, like, you know, and we think of another thing and then we work on that. And then we go off that and we go off that. And I guess people seem to enjoy it because, yeah, I don't know. I guess here we are still making them, I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it only you that have...
Is it only you that have the ideas for some videos for the content or...
I would say I come up with most of them, but like Nao's helped me, Blake helps me, okay. Or I see something online that I really like that I like to do. There was one like three things a Volvo player should not do. We put it out there.
Okay.
And it was just three just stuff that had nothing to do with volleyball. Just ridiculous, just ridiculous. And I remember we were on the bus in Frankfurt, and we were on the way to practice, and actually the whole team helped me, actually. Torvi helped me a lot, Cole helped me a lot, and we all were just like, we're just throwing ideas out. Xander helped me a lot too. Let's try this, let's try that, you know, because you got to find the three most ridiculous things you can think of, and when you have different people with different minds working on it, it becomes a lot easier.
Do you have to check it with your brother before releasing?
There have been cases of... Okay. Joe being like, you have to take that video down. take it down. But this year, you know, I think he realizes, well, it's good for the company because like we run camps and clinics and everything. And so it's a lot of the youth. And so if you stay, as you say, relevant in the youth community, which in America, which is our audience a lot of these times in these videos, it helps kind of like put your name out. And then also, but if you run a bad camper clinic and you put these stupid videos out, that is maybe not a good look. So that means we have to make sure we run a really good camper clinic so that way people know us from the videos and then really also enjoy when we come and work with them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but long story short, very rarely has he said, take it off. Mm-hmm. But he realized, I also realized the balance of it. I have a good understanding. Not saying I don't push the line sometimes or... like sometimes crossover it sometimes, but I have a pretty good idea. Yeah,
that's the way to go, I guess.
Yeah, like, yeah,
push
yeah.
some boundaries, maybe cross them from time to time.
That's my MO. That's where I operate.
That's where you have Joe coming in.
Yeah, Joe. Like I said, Joe's a business mind. He's a professional. And then you got the loose cannon, Gage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I laughed so hard at those three things. I was like watch it late at night, already in bed, ready to sleep, and then this video came up. I watched it 10 times.
Yeah, it's
it was good.
It was yeah, that's my goal. My goal is just for people to watch it, be like laughing, but like, what am I watching right now? And exactly. I think we do a pretty good job of that, I would say, for the most part.
You three do. This is really good
trio. Yeah, it'll be like 11 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, I get a voice memo from Nao. Okay, I was thinking we should do this and this. And then I write it down. Then we go to the court. Because people, and I think Nao's seeing this too, people think that also with these videos is that it's like, oh, they're easy. Because in theory, like, you just see boom, 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 and then video done, right? Mm-hmm. Something happens, something crazy happens. And you're like, okay, that's just... But sometimes these videos take forever to film, I think. Did you expect how long they took to film sometimes?
Yeah, not really. But also, like, coming up with the ideas, that's also a big point.
Exactly, like, yeah.
Figuring out what's funny or what... Maybe you have an idea and then modifying it and
all that
stuff.
It's because... Now it's like, well, I want to give my brother also credit for the first one. The first, and I don't know if you guys saw this, the first series that we did where we were like, whoa, like funny videos, was the Gwitty videos.
Yeah.
Like, he's Gwitting, like those videos over there. And then that was my brother and I watched it, but he's like, he really pushed me, like, we need to film one today. So we got the whole team together and we filmed it. Boom. Millions and millions of views. So every single day we filmed one, we would be on away trips. We'd be at Friedrichshafen after practice, and we'd use their court. We'd be in all these places. and we also went on a huge winning streak also when we did that. So also there's a balance, I want to say. Like, okay, let's say we're not playing well. Let's say, first of all, shout out to Stefan for, he knows that I can be a wild card. I also... making these videos, like, okay, let's say we were losing every game and we're making these videos. Not good. No. That would be terrible. That's not a good idea. So obviously, like, if there's times where, okay, maybe like things aren't going as well, it's like, okay, maybe we, because it's more about like the look, like it looks like, okay, we're losing every game and then we're filming stupid videos. Then it can give off the impression that we're not focused. Mm-hmm. Understandable. Mm-hmm. So obviously you're taking care of stuff on the court. Also, if you need extra reps, go get extra reps as well. And then playing well. And then there's a freedom. And Stefan always does a really good job of allowing that freedom. I don't think I've pushed that too much. I think I have a very good understanding because I'm more cautious of doing something like that. But yeah, so I think I want to give a shout out to Stefan for letting the guys kind of do our thing, because we are a young group. We're still pretty young. Even though I'm the second oldest guy, I'm not that old. I'm 26, and on most teams, like, the second oldest guy is like 35. So it's like,
the team this season's pretty young.
So young.
It got we're younger, so young. Even like old. Through the years.
I think we looked it up once. The average is like 23, 22, something like that.
And it was just because me and Blake, probably we'd be, if it wasn't for me and Blake, we'd probably be an average of like 21. To go what Nao was saying on the videos is also the biggest thing about why it takes so long is, I always say it has to pack a punch. So for example, you can make a funny video, right? But a lot of the time, and you can talk about this too maybe, is it something happens, like I said, and then something, boom, you're like, what just happened, kind of thing. And you got to make sure when that happens, it has to be something crazy or funny, or that we find funny, or we know the audience will. So that takes a lot of talking. As he said, there's a lot of like discussion between, like we can be there up for 2 hours, hour and a half after practice for 2-3 videos. Mm-hmm. Some videos less. Some videos are really, really a lot easier to film when the ideas just kind of happen. But sometimes you're there for a while, and also the videographer, and we'll grab like someone new every time. So I gotta teach them. You have to hit your mark. When he says this, you have to be on this guy. Mm-hmm. When that happens, you have to be on this guy. Or we do it perfectly, and it wasn't filmed perfectly. We gotta do it again. But we never get. But I don't think we ever get mad at anyone.
No.
Especially if you always have new guys.
Exactly. And then the new thing we're doing is Blake slapping me. And oh my gosh, you guys should see my neck. I have pictures. You should see my neck after. Blake is very good at controlling his slaps. I don't know how he is, but he is. And so sometimes it looks harder than it is. But I'm telling you, oh my gosh. I mean, this guy is there for every single one. One time he slapped me, and I was like, okay, this is like, I made it clear, okay, this is a test run, don't slap me. Boom, the next one he slapped me, he's like, oh, I didn't hear you, and I was like, whoa. But we have fun with it. I think the biggest thing is, until it's like, all right, I gotta film this or that thing, then I have to kind of rethink everything, because I really enjoy, and I really enjoy doing it with these guys too.
Are you afraid that sometime the ideas are missing?
Yeah, so actually last year, I remember it was my brother. They're like, we need more content. We need this. We need this. Because I hadn't posted a fun... It was like a once every blue moon, I would post something. And then I was like, okay, like, it is fun, but it's also a job, so I need to make sure I like, keep it up. But I do enjoy it, you know? And I just couldn't think of anything. It was one of those things where we were training so hard, and, you know, the sun was less and less sun. And I was like there, and I was like, I'm just having a creator, a block. Mm-hmm. And I just sit there, and I couldn't think of anything. But then there, I had this, and then Blake, actually. Blake was the one who actually brought me out of this. And this is when we really started cranking content. It was the one where, this is so ridiculous. And he kind of regrets doing this, but it's so funny. He goes, it was like, top volleyball stretch. I don't know, did you see this video? I don't know. Top volleyball stretches, blah, blah. And then it's me, and then it's him just basically ramming me into him, kind of like this a lot. Yeah. It's an older video.
I think I've seen all of them.
And then, I don't know, and then it's opened my mind. And then all of a sudden, I was like, because I'm a guy that I can go off of things. Like if I see something, like give me an idea. Okay, how do we make that better? How do we go off of that? How do we then make it into the final product? And so that's what we kind of did. And then all of a sudden, just started rolling again. So it just kind of opened the floodgates. And then it all came crashing in. And it worked.
I think it's often, I wouldn't say underappreciated, but it's underestimated how much work goes into it. You said, it's hours and hours up on just talking and refining ideas.
Yeah.
And even filming. And for like a 20, 30,
yeah,
maybe less second video.
And that,
hopefully gets where it gets,
right,
gets
and them. That's why I cannot stress the importance enough of Nao and Blake as well. These guys have been so, so amazing for me. And Xander and Oscar, they help film and they shoot and everything. But yeah, it's a full team effort a lot. And as long as I enjoy it, I'm gonna keep doing it, I guess. You know, but I always wonder, do you ever wonder when you walk into a gym and then, I guess this is more me because I've been doing it longer, but like you walk into a gym, like an away gym, and they're like, that's the guy that makes, that gets slapped online, or like that's the guy that takes the balls with his butt.
I think so many people saw your videos, and I think people saw the videos before knowing you as a player, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Even the big players, I see them sometimes, like, and this is not me think I'm some celebrity. I'm not, I know. But I think it's funny in my head, like, they'll, like, do a double take on me. You know what I'm saying? Because they're like, and I know what they're thinking. I know exactly what they're thinking. And I find that really funny. Because they're playing in Champions League, and they're playing the guy.
So they come up to you and ask you, are you the guy?
I've gotten approached sometimes, but some people, I think they're, for some reason, not scared, but like... Mm-hmm. You know, they're about to play us.
Intimidated.
Yeah, people say, I don't get this. People say that I can be intimidating at times, just by like looking. But I'm like, I would not agree with that. But I think that I have also gotten that people think I'm that people who don't meet me think I'm I can be an a-hole just because, you know, like whatever videos we make do well or something and people see them. So I probably think that I'm better than everyone else, even though I don't. And then when they meet me, then I'm who I am, and I like to think I'm a nice guy. So I think that also can play into it. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting ride for sure.
Maybe giving some context for our older listeners, who don't follow you yet. Maybe you can just give a hint where to find you and your content. Instagram.
I can break it down easier too. So my brother and I have a volleyball brand called Out of System. Out of System. It's a volleyball term when you're, you know, it basically, if I don't do my job, that means we're out of system. and
makes Neo's work harder.
Yeah, exactly. Get my center running. And basically what it's a lifestyle brand and a social media brand that follows three guys, three volleyball players. Myself, my brother, and Micah Ma'a, who's one of the USA setters, plays on Halkbank in Turkey, one of the best teams. And it follows our lives, and we show that through media a lot of all the time, whether it's through YouTube or on Instagram or on TikTok. Those are the three main sites. We also have a website. People want to check that out, outofsystem.net. But we also host camps and clinics for the youth. Sometimes actually we do adult camps and clinics, and we also host tournaments all over the country, all over America. So when I leave here, let's say it's what? When do we leave? When
last season? In May. Next year will be in May.
Exactly.
So yeah, after the finals.
Exactly.
After winning the finals.
We're planning on that.
Champions League? Okay, let's talk about this later. Final. Okay.
But so we leave in May, and all the way, okay, let's say we get here. I get back in the middle of August or late August. For that entire time, as soon as I step back on American soil, as soon as I step home, I'm traveling. I'm in an RV, me and my brother, and whoever we have with us, and we run camps and clinics all over the country.
But sorry,
yeah,
are we? It's a mobile home or something like this.
So mobile home, yeah, RV. Correct usage of that.
Not this one.
Yeah, so it's not. So this is one of our merch items here, but it's actually the bus that I grew up driving, Volkswagen van.
Oh, so, wow, cool. A bully, call it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I have in all the way since I was like 16, I've been driving that. But for going across country, we have like a, what's a 30 foot, what's a feet to, not meters, it's not 60 meters.
Divided by 3? 10 meters. Something.
It's like 10 meters. So it's about 10 meters. It's big. Oops. And yeah, so we travel and we do a lot of things, but mainly host camps, clinics, and then we host going now into 3 tournaments all across the country, and it's a lot. It is like I'd say I have way more off time here than I do when I get home. This is my rest time, like when I'm here. I'm telling you right now, I come back and I'm a zombie, and I don't have like literally having a dresser where I can put my underwear in, and I can go and I can take a shower is like it means the world to me. It means the world, and it's something that.
Does Stefan know that this here is your rest time?
Like last year here?
Rest
time. I think you meant last time.
Stefan
knows. No, I actually, in my contract, when I knew I was coming back, so they wanted us. When did you start training?
End of July, beginning of August. Yeah.
So I had contractually. All right, so because we sign contracts for out of system, it is. I will say people see the goofy side of it, but it is a business. And it wasn't always. It was not always that way. A lot of hard work and a lot of learning, I should say, and failures to get to where we are now. And there's going to be a lot more of that. But I had to get in my contract when I knew I was coming back. I had to get in my contract, in the Lunenburg contract. The earliest I can come was like, I wasn't pushing it too much, but August 6th, I got it in my Lunenburg contract because I knew until August 5th, I was under contract without a system for a tournament or for a camp. And then so as soon as that ended, I came over here and I just laid on my couch. I remember I just got in here, I just laid on my couch. First rest in 3 months, and I just did it, and much needed. It was, yeah, it's crazy. I told Neo, I want to get him over there, because because we get challenged by so many people, and in America, there's so many different pockets of volleyball. You have your grass volleyball, you have dirt, Mexican cartel dirt volleyball. This is all, people will go, and they'll make $20,000-$30,000, and basically what happens is, I think we're setting it up this summer. It has Mexican mafia ties to it, where you'll go on a dirt volleyball court, 3v3, 4v4, they make the rules, and they have live betting around the court.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that so
explains
it
takes, a lot.
Okay. Yeah, it takes place in, all right, I've never done this, so I want to put that out there, but it takes place in, I just seen videos online, and my friends have all done it, and it, on the border of Mexico sometimes, or like southern parts of the southern states of America. And like, there's just live betting everywhere. It's crazy. It is crazy. And it's just wild times. And it's just literal dirt volleyball. You're playing dirt for like big money, you could go and make $10,000 mm-hmm. for a match like that. But I don't do anything for the money. I it's cliche as that is. I just do it for the love of the game. I'll literally play any someone, any place, anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm always. We did camps and clinics, and these kids came up to me. They're like, "We have a court in our backyard. Come play mm-hmm. us." I said, "Okay." Mm-hmm. I was there till 1 a.m. just mm-hmm. playing volleyball in their backyard with them. So, and that's what Out of System is about. Also, to our listeners that maybe don't care about social media, it's just more the energy of it. And I think the energy is any type of volleyball, anywhere, anytime is mm-hmm. is kind of like the vibe we give off and we mm-hmm. want to give off. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. How many stops do you have planned for next year? This year?
We had to reduce it because we hit 32 states in 3 months, which is like 32 countries in 3 months. Okay. It's crazy. When I say crazy, it is crazy. Like, and when we're flying at 5 a.m. and then we land and we have two to three hour sessions in a day. And then you go mm-hmm. somewhere new the next day. You get there at 2 a.m. Guess what? Come morning, you got clinics going on. So we're like, we have to reduce this. We have to like calm down on this. And so now we go to what we call our hot spots. So for example, if Orlando, Florida, we have a lot of kids that love us. Like, because luckily we're at a point now, it wasn't always like this, but we had to turn kids away or we had to say, hey, only 100 kids can come into this clinic or 80 kids can come into this clinic based on like the courts. Like if we have two courts, it would be a waste of their time and be unfair to them if we allowed 100 kids in there, you know? So we'd say you have to have this many courts when they sign the contract and then whatever, that doesn't matter. But now we go to our hot spots where we know there's going to be like, we can get a lot of kids so we can spread it out a little more, stay in places a little longer, rest. How many totals? That's we're also adding another tournament in Nashville. So mm-hmm. we have a tournament in Nashville, Los Angeles, and Hawaii. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest outdoor tournament Hawaii has ever had in the history of Hawaii mm-hmm. volleyball.
Is it the Luau? Tournament.
The Luau, yeah. So, it is. It's crazy. So, but I can't tell you. We released the schedule around December. Off the top of my head, I want to say there's like 15, 17, I don't know, something like this.
Are you planning to increase your staff maybe? So far it's three of you.
No, there's more. There's more people behind the scenes. We have our Michael Wiseman who handles a lot of the finances. And then you have Faina Zhang who is just here. She mm-hmm. does a lot of social media and mm-hmm. marketing. And Jake Myers, little guy, he handles our merch. He's also I call our mascot. Mm-hmm. He's still in college, actually. He's in graduate school, but he's mm-hmm. in college. He's in a fifth year. And and then also my aunt helps us. We're lucky enough to have her. She ran a very successful business with my uncle, but then she stepped away from it just to take care of the kids, and now she just helps us on the side because she's been mm-hmm. through a lot of this stuff. So, yeah, but that's still not enough. Like in the summers, it's a whole nother level of crazy. Yeah.
Is it like the whole Hawaiian Ohana spirit with you guys?
Talking about Without a System? I mean, it is, but it's also a business. So it's also kind of a thing where it's like, you know, if
a mixture.
I'll come out to practice and someone's cracking the whip on me or vice versa, you know, where like, hey, like you need to get this done.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
I don't want to come off like I'm the big businessman. My brother, I call him CEO Joe mm-hmm. because he is CEO Joe and he thinks about these business stuff. And so with that, he kind of pushes the needle in terms of like business wise and business ventures. Mm-hmm. And my job is to create media around those business ventures and then also help stay relevant and create media every day kind of thing. Actually, that's why we started day one of 20 of challenge ourselves.
Unhinged gauge.
Exactly. We want to do 20 days straight and we have been doing 20 days straight of what's called unhinged, which is basically crazy, funny content straight. And we've been doing it and Neo's helped me a lot with that.
What day are we on now? 13? 12?
Maybe something like that. I don't remember.
So seven to go.
Exactly. And we were like, dude, 20 is a lot. And then what stops us there? Maybe we go for
because 30. Also you want to do 20 like good videos.
Yeah, yeah, 20. So you can make 20 videos. You can make 20 funny things. Well, I mean, you make just 20 videos, and they, you know, they can get saturated. They're not. They can be not that funny. But we push ourselves. I make it sound like we're training here. No, we're not like. But we do push ourselves in terms of ideas and creativity, in terms of like how can we do 20 really funny videos in a day or in 20 days.
So you don't just take the next best idea that someone of you comes up with and
go ahead. That's also a hard part of it because it's like telling someone. Luckily, like I said, Nao and Blake come up with good ideas, but telling someone, like, they come up like, oh, why don't you do this? And then, like, you're like, I don't know how to break that. I just know, because I've been doing it. I just know that's not a good idea. And that's nothing on them. Like, how do you break that to them? You know, like, how do you, like, I don't know, you know? That's also, because people want to help, which is awesome. But then there's always that part of, how do you tell them? I don't know about that one.
How far can you go?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it seems there's a pretty low barrier between you guys.
Yeah,
which should make it easier.
Yeah, I can be pretty honest with the guys, but like you don't want to like ruin it. So if they have another good idea, maybe you know they won't come up to you if you're a jerk about it.
So just be open to all
ideas. Yeah, always open. I think that's the key for sure.
Better have more than too few.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, speaking out of system, like see Ojo, I just wanted to say, if you know both of you guys, you instantly see like Joe is like the more serious guy.
Yeah, and I put it out there.
Especially on Wednesday, you saw it like when I talked to him, like he was really into it, like getting warmed up.
Right.
And you're just like a bit more laid back.
Yeah, I mean,
not saying that Joe is not a lovely guy.
So but after he's the game,
more serious. No, before the game.
Before the game.
Yeah, you can see it too.
After the game, it would be understandable.
Yeah, for sure. For me, I'm also. I mean, it's also based on positioning. I mean, he's a setter.
Like Gage has the best warm up ever.
Yeah, my warm.
I've never seen a warm up like that.
Yeah, my warm up is very nonchalant, very relaxed. I'm a guy that, I mean, like I said, it's also positioning. So I don't have as much impact as these guys do. Like, little physical impact on my, like, jumping and landing. So, for me, it's like, I'm not as tight as them. And I'm not as sore as them, usually. So, obviously, you don't want to take it too far where it's like, okay, that'll get you injured. So, I do, like, on game day, I do more of a warm-up than I ever do in practice. I do... You know, squat a few times and then go play short court. And then you're warm. And then, but, yeah, my brother is... If I were to hit, I thought about this. I actually said this to... I was talking to someone. I think I was talking to Blake. As a libero, it's harder losing a match as if I was, like, a setter or a pin hitter than as if you lose a libero. As if I lost as a libero. Because a libero, you can do your job completely fine, and that doesn't mean you're going to win. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win as the other position, but you have more impact on the game. For me, it's like there's a certain level of hopelessness to the libero position, unfortunately. So, for example, I could literally dig 80 balls in a match. That doesn't mean you're going to win. You kill 80 balls, there's like almost 100% chance you're winning the game.
You can help not losing.
Exactly. Yeah, I can. So I can make an impact, but it's not nearly as much as the hitters.
In the end, you're still like, you rely on someone.
Exactly.
Like, in the end, the attacker has to score the ball.
Yeah, for sure. So that, I mean, I can't score points. So it's a thing of, yeah, it's a thing of like so not. I mean, I care dearly about winning and losing, like as a libero. But it's a different kind of sting, you know.
I think it's not only a kind of the position you play. Okay, as a libero, you don't get the ball
right.
In 80 cases, but. Right. In the kind of you are demonstrating you are here, yes we can, and
right.
I think this kind of position
is
one which is very necessary for
the
you have people. To yell at the others,
right? 100%. yeah I mean, actually Teo's been doing that a lot,
and this position you fill out, we
right
say
Right, right. I think I'm not saying I'm not necessarily saying the libero. The libero position is super important. Coming obviously coming from a libero, it's super important. And you like all good teams have really good liberos, and they play an important role. It came off like, oh, libero doesn't mean anything. No, libero plays a really important role, and it's just that like we do 2-on-2. Every game. But when you're fully, how do I say this? When you feel more fully immersed in the game, as in pass, set, hit, I'm only in about a fourth of the game. Now, energy-wise, I'm all in the game. Like, attitude-wise, I'm all in the game. But in terms of the game itself, I'm only in the game for about 25% of the touches, maybe even less at times in certain matches. So that, like I said, that, like, it makes it harder for like when you're an actual attacker. Like for example, if I go in the summer and I go lose and I go play outdoor and I can do everything, I felt like I got beat more and it hurts mm-hmm. more than if I'm a libero. Now, if I have a bad game as a libero, mm-hmm. that stings a lot. Don't get me wrong. Cause it's like you have two jobs and mm-hmm. how can you mess that up type mm-hmm. of thing, you know? But if, Nao, I don't know if you feel the same way or anything like that, but if you're only in like 25% of the actions, it's hard to feel like you, if you play a good game, it's hard to feel like, oh, I was the one who, not to put any blame on anyone, but that I was the one who lost the game, or I take it as personal. So to go back to Joe. Joe's a setter. He's the captain. He's the guy touching pretty much every single ball, every second ball. It's definitely way harder pill to swallow than if, you know, as a libero, you're like, well, you know, I did what I could. Yeah, that's kind of this just the reality of the situation.
It's maybe a little bit comparable to the favorite sports of Germans, most Germans, soccer, football. So the goalie,
exactly,
has a similar role.
Right, right. Probably. I mean, he's only. I mean, you can, but I will say, I can lose a match. I've lost matches for SVG. Like I don't think I can play really well to boost the impact to boost our chances of winning. But also, I don't think I can win a match. Mm. But I can lose a match.
You can give confidence really to your teammates.
It's a really hard position.
Yeah. Mm. It's a trick. I remember my first time, my first year at home versus Berlin, I lost us the match, I remember. People would say, oh, no, you know, there was 20-something other points. But in crucial times, I messed up, I think, twice, maybe three times, to lead them to win in the fourth set. And it was shot, aced me. I overset it. It was on the end line, and I overshot the set. Mm-hmm. And they got a free ball, and they killed it. And then I think I got aced again. And then I was like, I lost that game for sure. So it is a tricky situation. It is tricky as libero.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I would call it more indirect impact. Like you're not on the net scoring points, but you avoid
right. Yeah, it's
on the other hand, you are the basics
for sure.
So
for sure,
even in the last years, it's more physical volleyball, and the first
attack
service is the first attack.
Yeah,
and that's in most cases your job.
Right, right.
So and if you can handle the first attack, so you have the best position to get the other attack.
Right.
You are the basic.
Right.
But also there, if Gage is doing an amazing job, the other team won't serve him. So if he's doing a pretty good job, he won't get the big impact because, okay, Gage is playing amazing, then they won't serve him, so he doesn't really touch the ball. So
it is tricky.
It's really tricky.
Libero, your biggest job is to keep it simple. It's just opportunities. Mm. How many opportunities can you give your team in defense? Like, okay, I give you another opportunity. Good pass, I give us a higher opportunity to score. And you can say that for all positions, but I think it's really clear in the libero position because that's all I can do, you know? Like if I say I can kill the ball, I give my team a higher opportunity to win. I mean, yes, but it's not as, I don't know, I think that's different than digging and passing.
So best would be pretending not to perform well, so they still would serve you.
Maybe I should take a few more aces here and there.
That's a question of psychology. At the beginning of the match,
and hopefully they...
Stop. Yeah. Leave some balls for the others.
I like the way you're thinking there, huh? Or maybe when I just start sucking and getting aced, I should be like, yeah, this is all part of the plan, boys. Don't worry about it.
Let him cook.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Excuse.
Let him cook. Let him cook. That was good.
Björn, you have two questions from the audience. From
I have our some, podcast. Yeah.
Like, just do you want to ask them?
I have one first, maybe. Okay. That was my question, as far as I remember. When we did the preparation? We do preparation for the podcast, actually. Yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. So your favorite color changed from red to yellow. Is it true?
Favorite color? No. All right. I can talk about this. I'll talk about this. All right. Let's just talk about how the Red Rocket was born really quickly. I don't have to talk about it for very long. I remember I go to my first year before the jerseys come in, and we're talking about jerseys. Like, the jerseys are going to be way different this year. I wasn't there the year prior before. Mm-hmm. So I was like, but I watched my brother play, so I had a good idea of what that meant. I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, like, what jerseys am I getting? Like, am I just getting the two same? And they're like, oh, no, you're going to get the Libero jersey. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So I was like, and Stefan's like, yeah, it should be red. And I was like, and? Like, red, and then what's the other one going to be? And he's like, no, I think you just get a red jersey. Like, I'm like, what? I just get the red jersey? And at first, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, oh, like, I'm not, like, a big, like, guy, like, what I wear. Although, Lunenburg has made me more open to it because of the Red Rocket. But let me go back here, sorry. So then I see it, and then it grows on me. And then before the season, you know, we came up with the nickname the Red Rocket. Stefan loved it too. And the announcer started saying it too. And it just kind of became a thing. So the Red Rocket was born. And then the next year, they're like, same jersey. I was like, I am cool with that. That is awesome. Same jersey. I'm completely okay with that. Then towards the end of last year, I hear murmurs. I hear whispers when they knew I was coming back. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing where I understand SVG's situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, sponsorship money is a big thing. And that is way above my pay grade. Like, there's obviously, as it should be. I knew Kuhlman wanted to come in. They wanted a sponsor. And as a business, SVG, you're thinking of ways, obviously, where you can generate more revenue, make more money. And I knew that the Kuhlman was like, okay. I mean, I don't know any deal or anything like that, but I knew they're like, we want to sponsor. And then, or I don't know if it was Kuhlman's idea or it was SVG's idea to make my jersey the Kuhlman jersey or something. Now, obviously, it's easier to do because Libero jersey, one guy's wearing it, it shows more, it flashes more, and you can make the Libero jersey literally anything you want. Like, if we made the main jerseys yellow, people would be like, all right, what? Like, that's not our colors, you know? But Libero, you can make it neon green, you can make it pink, for the matters, you know?
For next season, yeah.
And Dirk, actually, he texted me, he's like, hey, like, we're talking with Kuhlman, and before I left, I was like, Kuhlman, do not take the red away. People will be mad. Do not. I will be mad too. It's grown on me. It's who I am as a person. I am the Red Rocket. Don't take this away. And they're like, yeah, but like, I don't know. And so I get a text in the summer. I think it was Dirk. And Dirk's like, hey, we're taking jersey requests. And then I was like, hey, like, you can make a yellow. As long as there's some red in there, I'm okay with that. He's like, hey, do you have any ideas? I was like, yeah. Add some, I was dead serious. Add some flames in there. Like, the Red Rock. And I was like, do they? Like, I was like, I would love that. That'd be so sick. Because imagine, I was like, yellow and red. Oh, that'd be sick. That'd be so sick. So I remember I come back and I think someone broke it to me, broke me the news. They're like, yeah, it's just all yellow.
With some toys on it.
Yeah. So I take videos and photos, and because they chose three people. Obviously, I'm one of the people chosen because they can't choose anyone else for the Libero because I'm the only Libero. And I see it, and then I was like, I was bummed at first, if I'm being honest. And then I was like, oh man, like the Red Rocket, RIP the Red Rocket. And then, but then it kind of grew on me. But I'm not, and then I knew fans were pretty mad. I got some like DMs, like direct messages from people on my socials, like, we're going to create a, what is it called, when you sign something?
A petition.
A petition. For the, like, and they were really mad. And then I was upset at first, but then I was like, I understand it. Coolman, I actually I did a photo shoot with them. They're great. Like they're supporting SVL Gay. They're doing everything. I was like, all right, Gage, are you really like SVL Gay is furthering the brand, furthering the business. Are you really gonna like make a big deal? Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like first of all, you don't take yourself that seriously. All right, so don't start now. So in the end, it was best for SVL Gay. It grew on me. Do I prefer the Red Rocket jersey? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. That's also SVL Gate colors that I like. Mm-hmm. And I think it just looks like, I'm looking at the screen behind you, and I was like, the red on red is just so nice. But I will say the yellow on the navy blue, I've heard from a lot of people, looks sharp, looks nice.
It does, yeah.
Yeah,
I would say so, and I would say, as one Lunebroker also told us, you developed from the Red Rocket to the Golden Gauge.
The Golden Gauge, yeah. My brother, actually, I don't know if you're allowed to say this, but my brother's like, you know who should be? Because I was a Red Rocket, now you're the Piss Missile.
Yeah, we heard about that.
I was dying laughing when he told me that. I posted that like one or two times.
Yeah.
And then now everyone comes up to me and calls me that. And I laugh.
A friend of mine Googled it, and it's actually a sports term.
Yeah. Piss Missile is like a shot, like a... Like if I'm throwing like heat on a baseball, I'm throwing a fast piss missile, or like ever heard of a screamer in soccer, or like an absolute screamer when it's, you know, that's the same thing.
Yeah, it could be worse. You could heard be. About Friedrichshafen and their libero.
The orange.
Yeah, I has to wear the Berlin shirt now.
Yeah, it's I mean. Yeah, I mean,
it's not that Berlin shirt, but it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it is the rivals at the end of the day, you know, so you don't want to be their colors. But yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, shout out to Coolman, shout out to SVL Gay for doing what must be done.
Yeah, maybe you will return for the next season your Red Rocket shirt.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know, we'll see. I think the people would love that, to have a libero in red again. Yeah.
That would be lovely.
But it's easy to recognize you still.
Yeah, I mean, it's still pretty bright out there. It's you can still see me pretty distinctly.
And you said it in combination with the navy, it does look good.
Yeah.
I was skeptical at first as well when I first saw it, but then like when I saw you on court, I liked it.
Yeah. It looks sharp. It took a while getting used to.
Yeah, like.
But it.
But it looks good.
So didn't influence your performance on court?
My mom actually, so fun fact, this is a funny story. At the beginning of the year, we played Bounce House Cup, and I continued my history of playing terrible in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. I've done that for 3 years straight in the Bounce House Cup. Not a League 1.5 degree cup, what is it? Yeah.
Liga Cup.
Yeah. So I played terrible. Not that you're going to do it, but if you rewatch the film, every semifinals I don't play well. This series versus Berlin, I played and I did not play well. I get a call from my mom. My mom is very, very much into career. She's loving. She's done so much. And she's like, oh, Gage, like, what are you doing out there? Blah, blah, blah. You're getting A's too much. And also, like, she's like, maybe, dead serious, she's like, maybe you should, like, she's like, maybe it's the jersey, maybe it's the red. And I'm like, she's like, and then she's dead serious. She's like, maybe you should wear like an undershirt that has like red in it. Or something. She's like, maybe you should dye your hair red. I'm like, Mom, calm down, stop. Like I said, I love her. She's just trying to, you know, like, do what's best for her son, I guess, in that situation. But yeah, that was that. When I heard that, I was like laughing. It was pretty funny to me. You know, I'm not a superstitious guy. You know. So it's not really something that's gonna affect me that much. Hopefully not. You know?
Has worked out so far.
So far, so good. You know, I mean,
it's a good season for now. Yeah.
Huh?
It's a really good season for you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
overall, we are recording after the Gießen match, so really nice, and after the first Champions League win, so pretty best time for the podcast.
I mean, we're just finding ourselves, really. I mean, people before that Chamonix match were like, how good are you guys? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And I don't want to disrespect anyone, but our strength of schedule, our strongest, I mean, it went way up from the Chamonix game until now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the reality of it. So before, we were playing games that we were always kind of in control of. Mm-hmm. Now we're in games where it's anybody can win. Now there's favorites, but anybody can win. And now, like, we're really pushing ourselves, and we're seeing some really nice pieces come together. And it's cool, because now I have a better idea, because before I was like, I don't know, like, anything.
Yeah, we'll remain like this until Christmas.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, man. Nao can attest to this, probably, but having games where it's just insane opponent after insane opponent, really good teams, like world-class teams that you're playing against every weekend or twice a week. I love that. I love that, and it makes you better, you know. Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah. I also enjoy the practice weeks more.
Yeah.
Like, you have one or two days practice, and then you have next game. Mm-hmm. You travel a lot, but...
Have an impact to the training?
Yeah, confidence-wise, for sure. I mean, you see it too. I mean, like I said, it just started a week ago. But there is something in the air at times. And I don't, like I said, I don't want to just come on here and disrespect teams. That's not my goal. But the fact of the matter is that we're playing more experienced teams now. not that we can't lose to any of the teams that we played prior. So you got to make sure you're on it. Oh my, I'm sorry, I'm hitting everything now. You got to stay on it at all times. But yeah, you see, I mean, there's something in the air that's a little more intense. And also guys are getting confidence. Because like we said, like we're like, I think we're good at this, you know. But until the block goes from this far over the net to, you know, their chests are over the net, you know, like what, you know, does this work? Does that work? Who knows? But yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off now.
I think you just said it.
yeah. So it's people are getting confidence. People are finding their roles, and everyone's just elevating. Mm-hmm. Everyone on the team, all 12 of us are just elevating our game. And it's fun, because if you don't, you're going to get smacked in the mouth, as they say, in Champions League or anybody else that we're going to play.
Yeah, we'll be a game with Węgiel in Poland. We'll see how it goes this year.
Yeah, I hope. I mean,
Is a little bit different, but your team, our team is more different than theirs.
For sure. And I will say this, SVG, obviously we're not the favorites in that match. We're never going to be the favorites in that match. But... At a certain level, I think Lucas Mazza, when he first played here, this is when I first learned it. He said, at a certain level, anybody can beat anybody. And SVG, I believe that SVG is at that level. And we've proven it. We've won some insane international matches. Now, is Jastrzębie a clear favorite? Absolutely. The Polish team, they're a clear favorite. Just the experience they have and the level they have is, like, even last year, like, you have, how do I say this? From the moment it touches Tony Uchi, their setter's hands, you have 0.25 seconds, maybe less, before, boom, it comes. And you got to be in the right spot. And then you got to be able to react. On top of that, reading the situation. And they have...
Compared to the league?
Yeah, I mean, how much different is it? I don't know if you saw this, but, like, in Chamonix, when we played Chamonix, it was like, whoa. Like first point, whoa. I remember Shane Holdaway hit a ball at me. And it came like that quick. Like, the listeners here is like that. Boom. And then it's on me. Like that. And it's and for us, I don't think, like, we have the players. It's not a skill thing. But like I said, we have been playing opponents with a higher setting offense, slower offense, less angles that the hitters can hit. And then all of a sudden, you're just thrown in the fire, and we just get destroyed. And you see that game, we're just elevating our game and getting used to it. Thank God it was best out of five and not best out of three, because it would have been real quick. But yeah, so it was something that, you know, now you just got to keep going. If we don't keep elevating our game, you saw last year, we were in a clear second place spot really confidently. And then we didn't win a single set in the second. Now that has to do with experience, but now we know. We're not more. I would say we're younger, but I would say we're a lot of us are more experienced in those situations mm-hmm. of, okay, we won our first Champions League game. Okay, let's say we do really well in the next two or whatever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean anything. We could still end up in the bottom. And those experienced teams, they know that. And they show up when they need to. Mm-hmm. You know? So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, impression from yesterday from the Gießen game was a pretty adult game.
Of that your, was our first
foe, probably the average age of Gießen is a little bit higher than yours.
Yeah, but I mean,
not that really was, a lot.
That was our first win versus Gießen, and we beat them every single time my first year. Preseason last year.
I think, but in the season last year, you lost both games.
And all preseason games and the third place game in Gießen last year.
And also this year.
Yeah, and this year. So with that total, that's around like five to six games in a row I've lost straight versus Gießen. And then to go in there, in their house, and do what we did is awesome. I ain't mad.
Yeah. We enjoyed.
I hope you guys did.
I did, yeah. I actually sat with my back towards the TV. We were...
Really?
I was sitting right there.
Were that confident or like for like... like
for the whole game. We were also puzzling here. From here to there.
Well, I hope every game we can be that confident. So we'll see.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, from what I've seen, it was good.
Yeah, I hope so.
But I interrupted the listener's question thing, so maybe
you had your question. Yeah,
sorry.
I
went first.
Sorry.
Green ones.
Yeah, I did get a question from one of the fans, I would say, one of my friends.
Fire away.
I was told you like musicals.
Musicals in terms of movies? Yeah, my second favorite movie of all time is, top three movie is La La Land. Ryan Gosling, I mean, Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. Came out, what's it, 2018?
Mm-hmm. About, yeah.
Yeah, 2018, and I was a senior in high school, and I just remember sitting in there just crying. I was like, oh my God. The ending ripped my heart out. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like animated musicals. I love animated movies, but musicals and also Broadway in New York City.
Like an actual theater?
Yeah. Like what people consider the best of the best, at least in America.
Yeah.
I got to see a lot of that when I was younger. And every Christmas, my family would go into San Francisco, and Broadway would travel. Like a Broadway show is like the top of the top, and a show would travel to San Francisco, and we'd go and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always good. It was always something, a cool tradition that I really liked. But yes, I do. I do enjoy musicals. I think my brother likes it more than I do, but there are some that hold a special place in my heart.
So, just speaking musicals, La La Land is your favorite
by far. Not even close.
Including the Broadway shows?
I guess you could say I saw. So you guys know the show Wicked? They're coming out with a movie with it right now. It's considered one of the best shows of all time. And I saw it with the original cast when I was 8 years old, and I still remember it. And I still remember it. It was like the biggest, some of the biggest stars in the world were in there. And I saw it, and life-changing. I don't know, life-changing, but I it had an impact on me.
So. If you remember it after 18 years... had to be good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still play my brother and I will play the music in the car still. Mm-hmm. From it, awesome. So, yeah.
I didn't expect that Joe likes the musicals even more.
Yeah, no, my family, we can't sing for jack squat, but we enjoy listening to them.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be good at singing to enjoy them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Actually, that's in the Lüneburg Theater. There are performances of West Side Story.
English, no?
English, of course.
Oh, really?
It has to be in English. Actually, I don't know. I have no idea how it is, how it will be. My daughter and my wife will go there because I'm not a music fan, I must confess. But it will be here in the Lüneburg local theater.
The one Rex or L'Osteria?
Yeah.
The theater there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Might have to check that out then.
Yeah. Maybe there are still chances to purchase the tickets. Okay.
Not sure.
As far
maybe
as I checked.
Maybe not as sold out as the arena.
But it's because a Christmas performance will be sold out, or is sold out already, but after We'll be until February.
You'll be at home around Christmas, right?
Christmas? Like America?
Home. Yeah. No. Not this year.
I haven't been home at Christmas in like 4 years. We don't. My brother will be. They get a week off. We practice on Christmas Day. So 22nd, 23rd, 24th, we have off. 25th at like
25th in the what time? Afternoon.
Afternoon, we're probably lifting and practicing.
Oh, it's called laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire,
France.
As my brother describes it, the French are just really good at complaining. And they're really good at being lazy, and they get it off. Germans are very, which I respect. I mean, I this is not a diss on any of the cultures, but very like, we work here, we do this. So, so it'll be something that, you know, he has a week off, so he goes home. But do you like having a week off? For me,
It takes the rhythm.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because for me personally, I'm a touch player. Sorry, I don't mean to. I know you have a bunch of questions for Neo here, but one last thing, I guess. But I'm a touch player. Like, I don't have good form. My form is not good. My technique isn't very great. But my touch, that's where I get my control from. So take a week off of that, and your touch is like, if your touch is not good, and you get a serve served at you. And okay, maybe I mistime it a little bit, but I have a really good platform and there's like a lot of good surface area to work with. And then I miss it by a little. I still have a lot to work with here that my body will naturally do.
Sorry, just for volleyball nerds, platform. I learned right now. It's so called Brett in German, I think.
Is it? I don't know.
Right? Okay.
Spielbrett. Yeah.
Yeah. Spielbrett. The board.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like if I'm passing or.
Yeah, yeah. I understood it, but I learned it.
Perfect. So then, like, you don't have to be 100% correct because you have something good to... there's a lot to work with. For me, I don't have a lot of great stuff to work with, so it has to be timed very well, and it has to be a good touch with it. So you take that away, terrible. I mean, and you would be like, no, I'm telling you, terrible, so bad. And it takes me a while to get back into it. But you don't have that much time because we have a game on what?
27th?
28th.
Yeah. So like... Between the years, I always say it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it will be in a new town.
Isn't it in Bitterfeld?
No, it won't be in Bitterfeld. It will be in Dessau, which is 40 kilometers, but it's a bigger city there, and it's a nicer arena.
But it is Bitterfeld. It is.
Yeah, same team, but different venue.
Different location.
Maybe people will be mad. People might be mad at me for this. No respect, no disrespect to the Bitterfeld, but playing in that gym was so hard because half it was glass. And we didn't play at night either. It was like the sun was going down as we were playing. And so I am very happy to hear that we're playing.
But if it is the gym I know from Dessau, then it's also not a nice gym.
I played
second league there once, like last year, and it was not a big gym at all.
I heard 2,500 people can stay there.
Then maybe it's a completely different gym. I played in like a school gym in Dessau.
No, 2,500 can't be a school.
But Dessau town is known for the Bauhaus architecture. Maybe you play
in Bauhaus.
Bauhaus, it's an architecture school of modernism. Oh. Okay.
Can. Explain.
Explanation. Bauhaus used to be a famous architecture design school in the early 20th century, so 1920s and so on. It became famous like worldwide.
Town? Is the town cool?
No, it's a birthplace of Bauhaus. Style. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's nice because. Yeah, because...
But I really have no idea if the gym is part of this architecture school.
I'm going to hold it to a high standard, and I'm coming for you. Yeah. It's not.
Of course. Okay.
No, it's just a test for them to stay in another arena, because they are also not very satisfied with their situation with their arena, but it's a matter of money.
That's true. That is true. I mean, that's what it comes down to, money. So I understand. Shout out again, Kuhlman.
Yeah, of course.
Is the Bitterfeld gym as bad as Dachau? Because I heard Stefan rant about it. It's like
Dachau roof is tragic. Actually, shout out to also. I'm giving a lot of shout outs. Shout out to Jesse Elster. He had 8 bases in the Dachau gym.
Yeah,
just from the ceiling. just from the ceiling. So I will say, luckily, I'm going to knock on wood right now for luck. Luckily, the gym didn't affect us as much as it affected them. Mm-hmm. So if I'm them, I'm like, get me out of here. Get me in a bigger ceiling. Like, I don't know. But like I said, it comes down to money. You know, I mean, it's always not that simple. So I understand. I don't want to be, obviously, maybe before the game, I'll be like, ceiling. But, you know, professionals at the end of the day, and you have to make deal with it, whatever gets thrown at you. That's what we literally get paid for. Yeah. So we got to make sure we, yeah.
But they have a greater history than SVG.
Yeah, it's sure, astonishing.
Champions League and everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hopefully that changes, though, over the next few years.
It has to change. They know it themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
For sure.
But we had a similar situation here for years.
Yeah, in Gellerson Lüneburg. And
everything. Yeah. Oh, that gym is, like, with the big wood thingies on the ceiling. Like, the second men's team is playing there, so I'm regularly there.
They don't practice there.
We practice there, yeah.
They don't play against the ceiling that often, but sometimes it just sucks.
Lüneburg is, SVG has done an unbelievable job of growing a community. And also enticing, but also capturing the energy of the town. And that's not something you can say for every team. So I want to say I'm very grateful that I've been a part of that, because it's been really cool to see.
We're glad to still have you. Especially with
Visual Arena.
Should we go on?
Yeah, it's a matter of time. I would say we have to look for the time.
Wolfgang is our master of time.
Keeper of time. Our last podcast was 2.5 hours, and we don't make it too long.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
Simon talked a lot. I didn't expect that.
No, Simon can talk.
I really didn't. Like, some of my friends, they watched the live stream of you and Simon, and they were like, he talks a lot. I watched a little bit of it, but I was just like, I don't know what to expect from Simon. And he talked a lot. It was
good in talking.
Perfect.
I think our whole I can't think of one guy besides Oscar who's not good at talking. We're yapping and talking all the time.
Yeah, it was a funny thing, but it was okay. Both of them.
Oscar's a lovely guy.
For them too.
Huh? Okay. Oscar's a lovely guy.
Oscar, there's not a. This is the coolest team and the funniest and funnest team I've ever been a part of.
He's it.
Yeah, I've never, like, I'm always laughing. Like, there's not a time where I'm not laughing.
That's true. We're having lots of fun in practice.
Too much fun, really. Okay.
And this season, you guys are being especially supportive from the sideline. Like, that's the last few seasons, it's not been that much.
It plays a big role, too. Yeah. It does play a big role. Because that means 12 guys bought in all together. It's really special.
Also, maybe last time we saw it was with Will Kraft. Okay, he was supporting a lot from the sideline.
You know Will Kraft?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I saw him this summer. I see him every summer. He is a great guy. Just one of the best.
But it was during the pandemic, so there was the no gym was empty. It was only them.
Just hear him in the live stream.
Okay, what I wanted to say is in the podcast with Stefan, so 2.5 hours too. He mentioned that you made last season the locker speech. Not this year, because you agreed that you didn't do it this year. But can you give us an example for one locker speech?
So
we are interested in.
So how this began?
Three, two,
no,
one.
It was a thing where I stopped doing it because I would not even focus on the game. Mm-hmm. I would be an hour and a half before the game, because what it started with. Okay, this is the first one that started. I came in there and same thing like my videos. I just say random stuff that people be like, "What the heck?" and laugh. So for example, we're in Montenegro, and we go and I'm in charge of service Eve. To watch video. So that means they have 8 main servers. We're going to go and I'm going to say, this is Neo Lehman on the other team. Imagine Neo's on the other team. This is Neo. This is where he likes to serve. We're going to do this and we're going to do this as passers. So maybe we take a step to the left. Maybe we don't move anywhere. Then we watch them serve. That's what I, and then I go on to the next guy. So we know what to expect from the servers.
Okay.
So afterwards, after Montenegro, for some reason, I was like, hey guys, it was CEV first round. I was like, hey, this is a big deal, guys. I just want to, I have a quote for us for tonight. And I read something about like the blah, 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 blah. Something, I actually just read something. The best ships are friendships. And it was 3 seconds just quiet. I was like, and I was like, start dying laughing. And I'm like, all right, let's go. And they're like, that had nothing to do with anything. And I'm like, I know, that's why I said it. That turned into speeches. So then eventually, because I was like, okay, for me, I'm like, I guess I'm a showman. I got to one-up myself. Eventually, it turned into quotes and the speeches and the speeches and the speeches. I remember for the Modena game, actually, this was in Modena. We ended up losing this. The Modena game, when we first beat them, I gave a speech and I would literally write speeches and memorize and practice in it. And it got to the point where I wouldn't even focus on the game. That's why I was like, I can't keep doing this. This is not good. But I remember I talked about Sam and Frodo going up to the mountain. You know, I was like, and going up Mount Doom and going to the ring and throwing the ring into the fire. But I was dead serious. And I would always end it, like, and I'd say a quote. I forget what the quote was. And then I'm going to make this a PG version at the end. I'm like, let's freaking go! And we all like coming together or something like that. Or I talk about, I don't know, like I would give historic lessons as well. I'd give historic battles that would happen, swear to God. And just like and then for example, the relevance of who we were playing or the who we're up against here, you know, David and Goliath. But I would also go as far as I would really do my research. Cool. I would start off, I remember when we were playing Helios, I told a true story about a man that killed a grizzly bear with his bare hands. And I swear to God. And then, I wouldn't be like, this is the story, okay, let's go. I would find a way to ramp it up. And I can't recall exactly what I would say with the names and stuff, because it was 2 years ago. But I would ramp it up. I was like, do you know what he did to that bear? He took his hands, and, you know what I'm saying? And then so like it can sometimes speeches can be anywhere from like 30 seconds to 2 minutes, honestly, like 3 minutes. And it was something else. It was I would just be there, I'd be like ready to go. And then Stefan would say his thing, like, Gage, speech, and he'd step aside and stand up. Just riled up. And it was something else. And like I said, there's no way I could keep that up because it would be so,
okay.
It was not good.
It was your decision finally.
Well, so. it was like we won in Montenegro, and they're like, you got to keep it up. You got to keep doing it. I'm like, oh my God, what have I done to myself? I really wanted to stop, but then they're like, you can't stop, and I was like, all right, I understand. I like dreaded it every game. I hated it every game.
Okay. You can't top it.
Yeah. Because yeah, exactly. Because like a certain time, I have to keep preparing, keep going. And then also, I would do the speech. It's like, you know, after you give like a big presentation, you like worked up before it. And then afterwards, you're just, oh, relaxed. But now I have to go play a match, an actual match. So I was like working up, just thinking of the speech. I'd give it, and then I'd relax. Okay. And then I'd be way too relaxed for the game. So all my like build up would be like broken, so it'd be terrible.
Your work was done. Your job.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh wait, now I gotta go play
without a libero.
Yeah, I don't know. It was something else. But that was. Thank you for reminding me that. That was awesome.
If you had to choose one from the current team, who would you choose as a like substitute libero?
I mean, Teo's an unreal passer, but Teo's also really good at offense. That's the issue of it.
Perfect. Problem solved.
So Teo, maybe, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Teo's libero and you giving speeches.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess. Guys, I'm going to take this game off. I gotta write this really good speech.
You have to look into your contract. Or you have to change something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Take some games off. Look up
the Battle of Trafalgar.
I looked at some wild, wild battles and stories. I went on the deepest, darkest holes of the internet to find specific things for the match. And I guess I did.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
We totally went off track again. Perfect.
That's the beauty of it, though.
We're good.
What do you think? Shall we switch to the challenge?
Or maybe last thing before question. The challenge. At what point during the game with Chamon you thought you could switch it? You could win it. Yeah. Because first two sets,
the second set we got really close. Like, yeah. But
yeah, in the end, yeah.
Yeah, but in the end it was like, okay, so now we're like, I felt like, okay, we can like stay with these guys. First set we got the first set we got obliterated. We got destroyed.
Yeah.
And then yeah, so then we caught up, and then third set, we're like, we snuck one out, and then, but honestly, you don't think like, oh, we can win this match. You think, okay, we can win this set. Not to think we can't win the match, but you just take it set by set, you know. So it's like, okay, oh, we won the set, okay, and then we started winning by a lot in the fourth set, and then the fifth set, pretty much the whole match until they call that double on me. Now, was it a double?
I watched it back and
Here's the thing. I didn't say this about this. This is a little... I actually was, as I say, chirping. If you can hit that if you want to hit it. chirping, which means like talking. I don't talk a lot of trash, but I know a lot of Joe's players on this team. Because I went to Chamon last year and I visited for their playoffs and I got to know a lot of them. And I like all of them. I respect them. And we... was it? So then I remember I doubled it, and I know my brother, and I know them. And they're like, "Whoa!" And that's what they got the double. Was it super clean? No. But late in the set, fifth set, like that, like 9-9 or something, or 8-9.
And also with worse sets before
that
didn't get called.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the only reason they call it because the whole team like, "Why?" Hey. You know, all right, fine, whatever, call it. Then Teo goes and talks to the ref, like, "All right, you're really going to call that right now, like on a like so-so call, like not a very clear call late in the fifth set. Are you crazy?" Nico, their outside, who's great, he's just doing this to try and get in our head. He's yelling at Teo. He's like, "Oh, like I said, I'll make this PG rated. hey, like always complain to the refs, always blah blah blah." And then I snapped a little, and I was like, "Why don't you go tell it to your setter, who's always at the freaking ref stand, huh? Go talk to him." My brother, you know. But I was actually yelling at him, and then ended it there. So it was a fun time. And yeah, so this is a fun time. Yeah, so what was the question then?
Sorry. Yeah. Answer the question. When did you get the feeling that you can beat?
Yeah, so them? Yeah, I mean, and then you're in the fifth set, and then it's like the golden set versus Arcus right here. You're like, okay, until you're in that final set, you don't think, okay, we're gonna win the match, or no, not think that you can't win the match, but you just focus on the set. You just focus on that set really when you're in the moment in that high stakes matches. Yeah,
it was a crazy development of your team.
Yeah,
I never saw this in one game.
Crazy, so such crazy a
development, and the funniest, most awesome thing was, I think, the 14 points in the last set.
Yeah,
tiebreak. Thanks.
Yeah.
I think it was. Our middle blocker.
Yosha.
One-on-one.
He did the block. He did the block. Oh, yeah. I,
12, 13. In such a short time, Joe made the Aufsteiger. I don't know the English word.
They played the quick.
Yeah.
Okay, it was the quick, and Yosha was there.
It felt like Yosha was jumping with Joe, like he was kind of too early. But
for sure.
Going down, he still got Lucas, and I was... It was freaking out.
The only thing he could do it. He must jump when Joe hit the ball.
Because maybe Joe just like does one of these. Just
punches it over. He's a sneaky boy. Joe is a sneaky boy.
He is.
So I get it. But it worked out, huh?
I love it. Every time I see it from another player, I just go, "That he did a Joe Worsley."
Yeah, Joe's sneaky.
Okay, sneaky. So we will start with a challenge.
Okay.
Alrighty. Okay, and Björn, you will explain the rules.
I'll try my best.
At the beginning, is it possible that we can make a small video out of it?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's more for Insta, for the Werbung, marketing for the podcast. So we will take a slot of it, a small wrong part of it. So for this, we have a small camera there. At first, before the rules, I have to know, what do you like to drink? What's your favorite drink? Yeah. Because this is,
or maybe could be your prize could be a card game or something like this instead of.
We had Auke wanted chocolate.
Oh, you're gonna
or something else.
Oh no, I mean, I don't know. You can. I'm not. I don't drink, so I don't know. You can give me anything.
Yeah, you can also have a non-alcoholic thing or
Cola Zero, I guess.
Cola Zero is maybe.
Give me anything. I really
something special. Well, something special. Okay.
I'm gonna. You know what? You can get me anything you want, and I'll be happy. Surprise me. How about that?
Surprise you.
Okay. Surprise. Cool.
Pressure's on you.
Would you really prefer something?
I better like it.
To eat something to eat, or a card game or whatever.
I'm not a big card game guy, actually. Okay. So I guess not card game. I also can't eat cards.
So. Instead of cops.
Just so Ludenbrock
Ludenbrock and brats are probably my favorite thing in this world.
So we just get you a massive turkey if you give the next game.
If you give me a pack of bratwurst, Ludenbrock and bratwurst, okay. I will be forever in debt to you.
Okay.
So
we will find a sponsor for you.
Actually, bratwurst. Ludenbrock and bratwurst.
Okay. We'll find a sponsor, a local sponsor for you, maybe. next season there will be the Libero jersey from a bratwurst producer.
If I had a Rothage meat market jersey, the meat market across from LKH, I would, if I died next day, I would be fine.
I was thinking of that.
I'd be like, oh my God, that'd be legendary. Like,
oh, by the way, their name is the color of your jersey until last season.
What? Like,
Rote?
Rote, oh. And Rote, red, not Rotha.
Red is Rote.
Yeah, Rote Roketa.
Okay, but so far that's a call for them, call for action. So
Gage just gets bottomless Bratwurst.
I would be so happy with that.
Perfect.
Cool. Leo, what about you?
That's a good question.
We can give you some hints. Maybe Oscar got some different types of beer, German beer, but he didn't know it so far.
You know
but
what Simon want?
Oh, yeah, I think he told me Stroh 80.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay.
Just for display, of course. Take your time.
If you can't think of anything, you can tell later. So no pressure.
No pressure. Then, maybe wine.
Yeah, I'm not a wine fan. Maybe I'm a Bacardi raspberry fan.
That's, my man. That's like. My man.
Just give me a handle.
Bacardi
vodka.
What?
Bacardi raspberry.
Raspberry.
Yeah,
I'll take care of it.
I don't know why, but that's the only thing right now.
Yeah, so of course for the off season or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Up to you. I don't know what Simon does with the Stroh 80.
He just wanted to display it.
He can clean maybe the locker room with it.
I'll take a vacuum, actually.
It's
not
possible to drink
80%. Can I get an Audi?
Next season.
Volkswagen?
You'll have to talk to Kuhlmann about that.
Yeah, we have to find a sponsor.
For context, Gage, Stroh 80, the stuff Simon got, it has like 80% alcohol. So you...
Yeah, it makes you blind. Yeah.
Gotta bleach my white shirt with that.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, definitely.
Throw it in the laundry.
I think Ines wanted also the Bacardi raspberry.
Can it be? I don't know. No, I don't think so, but something similar, maybe.
It was something.
I'm not into things like that.
Okay, then start with the rules.
The game. I think you played it some of you played it on the Dine Media Day. Like, who's more likely to?
Oh, with our team or with each other?
Just you guys.
Okay.
But after each question, you can tell us if you would have picked someone else.
Modern technique for young people.
Wolfgang is keeping track. if you get this, get the same answer or not.
Yeah, sure. So a bookkeeper.
Do you go with Wolf? Is Wolf like your short? Like if for short, you go Wolf.
Wolf, yeah, you can say it.
That's sick. That's awesome.
Maybe Wolle as well.
That's in Berlin. It's
normal. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Like it translates from wool.
That's amazing.
Let's go, Gage.
Let's go. Let's go. Who's more likely to miss the team bus if you're going on an away match?
He's changing.
Okay. So.
Gage pick Gage, Neo pick Neo.
I knew it would come down to this, but Neo wouldn't because he also has all the teammates that stay with him. And I guess I have a few teammates that stay with me, but... Mm-hmm. But for me, I've been late to stuff. I was late to the CV quarterfinals. Fun fact. Oh, on wow. Accident. Oh, wow. Versus Milan. Not my best moment. Sorry, continue.
To the airport?
No, to the match.
Okay, in home match. In Athens.
Home match, yeah.
Home match, I was late to the match.
Okay.
Would you have picked someone else?
I can't think of anyone like that.
Honestly, I see Oscar somehow just... forgetting
I would say
that we
Axel before he got a car too.
Yeah.
Axel before he got a car.
Mm-hmm. Or Zimon also maybe.
Oh yeah, Zimon.
Zimon.
Maybe.
Oh really?
Oh, we'll see. So.
Don't expect that.
Hopefully
so far
not
done that, yeah.
Before a really important game this season, but you imagine. Will tell or
but
you
I
won't
think
tell.
More. More.
If
more.
I do it, I'll tell. I have no problem. But I'm not gonna rat. I'm not gonna tell anyone else. So.
I'm sure. So next one, who's more likely to try a new crazy technique during practice? Pretty clear.
Okay.
Both Gage.
Yeah, we thought
I
about
expected
it.
That.
So first point for you.
Oh, I didn't realize I was just looking.
Yeah
both had.
Both had Gage.
Okay.
For obvious reasons.
So
I
we have 50%.
So far, but there will be more questions. So.
Mm-hmm. Next one. Who's more likely to get an epic block against a star middle blocker? Neo, of course.
So, given your position...
If I get a block, it'd be illegal.
Yeah. Yes, that's a
but
problem.
Gage would be allowed to block for sure. But be
Gage. No. I'm a terrible blocker. I'm such a bad blocker.
I'm firm that I still want to see you as an outside hitter.
I get that a lot, but I don't know if you're missing anything.
But it's not very likely during this season. Well, maybe if Tio would take your part.
Yeah. I mean, coach wants to throw me out there. I'm not going to complain.
So, next one. Who's more likely to lead the team in a spontaneous dance competition?
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah,
that's Gage. Anyone else?
I honestly would say, like, see me too, but, like, being here with Gage, yeah.
Honestly, both of them for sure. Yeah. Both a great compliment.
I think if I would sit here with someone else, I would pick me. But
so you two would be the favorites.
I would say so. Yes, for sure.
Lovely. I'd want to see that.
One of us starts, the other follows.
Have you thought about a special dance? You know, probably you recall Hershing celebrating aces.
We've danced and put it online recently. Sorry.
But not it's related to the
we've
game.
We've danced and put it online recently.
Some
and dances. In practice, we're always after every point, you know, I'm shaking my hips. So, yeah, it wouldn't be out of the blue. It wouldn't be a normal day if we're not doing that in practice.
Mm-hmm. The stuff you guys do in practice.
Well, all right, first of all, I want to put it out there. We do take practice very seriously, but we're also a fun
sometimes
group.
Not.
So sometimes, at very
after
brief,
practice.
Brief moments, no. Yeah.
Referring to the video where you guys
that was
took
the
your
end,
clothes
the
off.
End of the end of the practice.
That was end of practice,
it
yeah.
was literally the last
yeah.
point.
I loved it. Next one. Who's more likely to play in another country and learn the local language? Neo and Neo.
Yeah.
I picked me because of the last part, learning the language.
Learn it. Well, it's 0-2. I played in Bulgaria, didn't learn Bulgarian. I played in mm-hmm. German 3 years, don't know German. Mm-hmm. That's because of laziness.
But the others have to learn your language first, maybe.
Yeah, so I'll never like be mad or judge anyone that doesn't speak English.
No, it's Gaelic. Yeah, yeah. You have to learn Gaelic first.
Yeah, so there's Gaelic English and then there's English. there's a dialect change.
Absolutely. It takes some getting used to.
Yeah, but sure.
If someone hangs out with you enough, you get used to it.
I agree. Yeah, for sure. You're right.
Some so, faster, some take some more
for time. Me, so far, it's okay.
I agree. I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're putting in the effort. You appreciate it. So, let's go on. Who's more likely to play an important match despite an injury? Both.
Oh. Okay.
That counts.
Both? I put both. Both of us would. I can't think of one guy on the court. I'm sorry. I did it again. I'm sorry. I can't think of one guy on our team that wouldn't do that.
But what I heard about you, I never had to do it, but you already did it once. So I was like, okay.
You did?
Yeah. My first year, I pretty much almost tore my ACL after the third match against Friedrichshafen.
Your what?
My ACL. Can I see it? Right here. So it's I went like this, and I made a move at the, I think, no, and I went like this, and I came in, okay. And then I felt like,
yeah.
In your knee.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. Yeah, and I was like, I can't move my leg, so mm-hmm. I took an ungodly, insane amount of ibuprofen.
Pills. Yeah.
And they thought it was torn, but it wasn't. And then, okay, let's say the game was 3-4 days later, and I had like a bionic leg. And then I also, in Ceska Budovice, 2 days before, I was up 10 hours straight all night, throwing up, having bad food poisoning. I've had, not to say that I'm some badass. I'm sorry for my language. But I've unfortunately had to play through some stuff. But I also don't have to jump. I want to put that out there, too.
Yeah.
Ney would be doing the same thing and jumping.
Mm-hmm.
So... That I would say, if I were to choose a position where I had to go through that, I would choose libero, because I'm not, my belly isn't going up and down, or I'm not, no impact, you know, so, yeah. It's
not that bad, if you're not always throwing yourself on the ground.
Yeah. Not as active, for sure.
Well, that varies from match to match.
True.
From what I've seen.
That's true.
So, we're on to the next one. Who's more likely to get an autograph from a famous player on the opposing team?
I don't think either of us. I'm not looking at you, Nail. Oh, sorry. I'll put myself. Sorry, I did it.
It's okay.
I just put myself because I didn't see you getting an autograph from someone else.
I don't.
And maybe like because I'm. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you're younger too.
Yeah, I'm younger and I kind of could play against some of my idols when I was pretty young, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, so no, maybe, for sure.
But yeah.
I'll get a picture. I got a picture with some people, like Tony UT.
Oh, that's a new version of getting an autograph, making a selfie. Yeah, sure. Yeah, of for course.
Sure. So maybe a picture, yeah, I've done
that. Should have thought about that. Okay.
Nah, that's
yeah. But the other way around, the others would like to have a selfie with you.
Sometimes. I wouldn't say never like... a big player, anything like that, but like small kids. Yeah, just
afraid to ask.
What about Toby Krick?
Toby Krick?
Yeah.
Toby, would I get a photo with Toby?
Oh, the other way around.
No. I mean, I know Toby. I know, like most of the guys I play against, I've come to know. Like I've, fortunately. So like, it's not like, it's more of a mutual respect thing than like a idol thing. But like I said, if I was 19 playing against these idols that I played against, it would be a different story. So, yeah.
Would you have picked anyone else from the team?
I don't think so.
No. From the last season, maybe Erik. He likes the big players like Georg Rosa. Yeah. Now he's playing with Ivan Zaitsev, and they are best friends now, according to their pictures on social media. And so.
They're friends. That doesn't count.
I think that also it's a thing of, you know, like when you're in Champions League and all this, at least for that's how I think, it's like if you're competing against a lot of these guys, you don't want to like be like, oh, like, can't buddy, be the buddy. Fan. Yeah, boy. Yeah, exactly. Like you're out there and you're trying to beat them and uh-huh. destroy them.
Oh, by the way, do you remember, you remember with Modena playing and there was Erwin Gapet. How was his attitude towards you or the
towards
opponent
me
team?
Or to the team? I mean, obviously, Erwin's a special player in terms of, I'm not going to, what they say, judge a book by its cover. Like, I remember he wasn't slated or scheduled to play that match because they thought they would just come in and destroy us. And he didn't warm up at all, really. I remember seeing him. He was just kind of laying on a ball or sitting on a ball the whole time, not doing anything. And then he gets subbed in, and I mean, he's accomplished so much in his career, so like he has every right to think how he wants to think. We actually had to do a really good job of stopping him and blocking him a lot and passing him really well. And he I don't know if you guys saw, but he got hostile towards Stefan. And then he actually, because I was at the net when he said this, I'm not going to say what he grabbed, but he did something. And then he's like, you want to go outside? You want to meet me outside? Now, Stefan, obviously, he wasn't the one who started it, but Stefan's not one to step down respectfully.
Yeah.
And Stefan didn't say, let's go outside, but he's like, what are you going to do, man? Like, it's not that deep, bro. And Erwin was the one that looked like an a-hole in that situation. So my respect to Stefan, he was respectful about it, but he was also standing his ground, as he should. Because like I said, at the end of the day, we're trying to beat these guys. These guys are legends of the game, but, you know. And so is Stefan. Stefan's a legend of the game, too. Yeah. So, you know.
Do you think Erwin was aware of who Stefan is?
I think so, because Gianni also played against Stefan. Mm-hmm. So, Gianni was mad after the match, too, I remember, too.
Yeah, I remember his interview. It was statesman-like.
he yelled at Shanko Pearson. He called him you're a bad guy. Because I think Pearson maybe touched the ball or something and didn't call it. But they weren't calling anything. So like in that match, heck no, we're not going to call anything, you know? And then he was like yelling. Now, all right, maybe I shouldn't. I'm not trying to just talk crap or anything, but just a little insight into the game. Just it was 2-3
years
ago. That
was a cool story.
I could talk about it now. But there's a lot of cool stories out there that are really interesting.
Calling Pierce a bad person should be crazy.
Pierce is like the nicest guy. Every Canadian I've ever played with.
Awesome guy.
Unbelievable people. Unbelievable people.
He got me the signed ball.
He's a man. That's the first team.
Yeah, that's 22 and 23.
Look at that.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, that's this little story for you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what we're here for. Even if it takes up some time. Yeah. Who cares? Next one. I think I know the answer to that one. Who's more likely to cook the best food for the team?
For the team?
Yeah.
I don't really cook for the team, but I... Well, that's...
Okay, different answers.
I would say... I cook a lot, but I also know that all of us cook a lot. So we never really cook for each other.
That's true.
That's the thing. We never really cook for each other. I will say, when they have barbecues, they always have. We have barbecues. We're a pretty close team. They always have really good stuff going on. Not just me, but other stuff on the side that I respect a lot. I think, I honestly would trust him. I like to think he would trust me. but we cook a lot, so because we have to, because we're athletes, you know. Unless we want to spend a crazy bill on food each day.
Oh, by the way, will there be cooking for the team this season? Maybe.
Oh, I remember that. That was so good. I remember.
We gave Metzer the dates, but we didn't hear of him up to now.
What? I'll talk to him.
I think the next date is before the game to Bitterfeld. So
Has to be a weekend, of course, and a day maybe before Sunday game on Saturday.
Like a Saturday?
We must have time, because in the week we don't have the time to cook. So for this, we have the dates, but up to now it didn't work.
Okay. So call to action for
I'll talk to Matze.
Matze, gib Gas. I thought you, Gage was the clear answer because I know Gage cooks.
But you've also been in my... You're right, but I've been in my apartment. You've been in my apartment.
And I've gifted
I trust
you,
Neo.
I've gifted you knives for your birthday.
Yeah. I enjoy cooking.
Maybe, Neo, you tasted already?
No, I... That's you don't like, trust me. I never ate something from him. But maybe it's also because of stereotypes from Americans. I don't know.
That's fair. That's a fair answer.
The knife idea came from Jenna, by the way. Because Patricia asked her and she said, yeah, he likes to cook.
That's perfect.
Said, yeah.
He gifted
they have those knives in red. Let's get them in red.
The Red Rocket. Now I need a yellow pair.
It was last season. So, next one. Who's more likely to star in a volleyball-related TV commercial?
Should put this right now.
Okay.
I would say this also because I said Gage because Neo would Neo would also would be great in a TV commercial. I just think probably because I have maybe a bigger platform without a system that I would be asked to, even though he would be equally as good.
Nice.
How many points have we already got?
Wolfgang?
I think enough.
I will give you the answer after the next question because this will be the last.
It was a point this for this round.
Oh, it was a point. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
I have to control it.
Don't screw him over.
No cheating from our side. Okay.
I went to the last one. Who's more likely to imitate the coach in timeout to lighten the mood?
Imitate like, but that's that's so.
Depends on how you imitate
Stefan. I would say no one does it, but it's like, who's more likely
to... Who's more likely
to light the mood?
By imitating the coach. Let's narrow it down.
Okay,
both Gage.
Both Gage.
I would say I would never imitate the coach, because obviously that's just disrespect. But I would light the mood, and Neo also is really good at lightening the mood. We're very similar. We have very similar roles also, too. In terms of vibes-wise, like good vibes all around.
Just doing the talking, like in timeouts? Because I've seen...
Well, Neo's always the first person in timeouts. If he's not playing, he's the first person to run and greet us all and keep the vibes up and stuff. So
like moral support.
Yeah. So, like, he's really good at that. And then I also can do that at times, so...
And you said Theo does it, and I've really seen Theo grow into that role of captain.
He's more of a... he's more...
He's more likely to yell at Yosha.
Exactly. He's more of a yeller than he is a positive energy, which you need. You need the yin and the yang to it.
So, by the way, is there anything or plan? Who's going to talk to the others during the timeouts when Stefan isn't?
You just feel the vibe. You feel the vibe of it. Mm. I don't know. It's just when you're in that moment, in that environment, you just feel it, you know? Some guy's feeling hot. Mm-hmm. Oh, cheese is delicious. Mm-hmm. Some guy's feeling hot and like, so he's going to talk more, I guess. I don't know. Or something that has to do with his position, maybe.
But now we have the results of the German jury.
I think we did a good job.
You did a good job, yeah.
In 70%, you gave the same answer.
See?
Yeah, so you seven did out more of 10. Than a minimum.
Awesome.
Okay.
To wow. See.
Great.
So we'll have to go shopping.
Great. So we have to go shopping.
Bratwurst and Bacardi.
Maybe a surprise. Yeah. I understood. Surprise or Bratwurst, we didn't know.
A surprise Bratwurst. Yeah, that would.
Oh. Surprise Bratwurst.
So maybe Bratwurst with Spamalade or something.
Always. Instead of a bunch of Bratwurst. I'm just kidding. No.
We'll see.
Let's not go down that road.
Do you usually add something to the bratwurst? You know, the German thing is to have mustard.
Yeah, of course, mustard and ketchup for sure.
Is there a special mustard? Maybe you like just more.
Really, I just saw that play on Grozer. He hit me in the line in that last play. I dug it with my ear and my shoulder.
Okay.
It was so nice. Awesome. Sorry. And then it went through the rafter, and then it went over. So lucky, so lucky. Anyways.
Go all the way to the ceiling?
Yeah, yeah. No, and then
through the...
Like so, anyway, sorry. Like the normal Zenf, that's like that you get like the big... I always get the big bottle from...
Okay, no Rota. Special...
Yeah, no special. Okay. I don't like the curry ketchup as much as I like the normal ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Christmas markets, all they have is curry ketchup. Yeah. Usually.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, you know. I can destroy bratwurst Like, I can put them
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, you can. Get a big bratwurst.
You have no idea. Like I said, after this, we're about to go eat a kilo schnitzel. Mm-hmm. And today I already had two steaks.
Where do you get those?
Kilo, the what's it called? There's a restaurant. Anno.
Yeah, 19 something.
1919. Yeah.
So we go there, and there's a good amount of us going, and it's not even going to be fair. We're all
so there are a lot of potential sponsors for this podcast.
I mean, I'll be on the podcast every week. If you get their food here, I will be here every week. I guarantee you. Fine.
Just sitting there on the couch eating.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay. So thanks for Gage. You're staying here. We will switch now in German.
You can watch the game. Stay here.
Yeah. What? Can I get my phone? I'm just gonna take one time. To text the guys really quick. Okay. But yeah, I understand. I'll be very, very quiet. I'll be quiet.
Jetzt immer.
So kommen wir zu Neo Laumann. Schön, dass wir dich hier haben, obwohl du ja eigentlich schon im zweiten Jahr da bist. Haben wir dich im ersten Jahr nicht so gesehen. Lass uns mal kurz so über deine Entwicklung reden, beziehungsweise, ja, du bist in Düren geboren.
Genau.
Und hast dich dem zufolge dann auch tatsächlich volleyballtechnisch in der Jugend in Düren ein bisschen rumgetrieben noch.
Ja.
Ich kann die Antwort zwar ahnen, aber vielleicht sagst du sie uns selber, was hat dich zum Volleyball gebracht?
Ich habe früher ganz lange Fußball gespielt, wollte da auch eigentlich schon Volleyball anfangen, aber Fußball hat relativ viel Zeit eingenommen. Das heißt, es war nie eigentlich Zeit für Volleyball und irgendwie hat mir eine Zeit lang Fußball noch mehr Spaß gemacht. Aber irgendwann war dann so ein Switch, das heißt, dadurch irgendwie dann hat mir Fußball nicht mehr so viel Spaß gemacht. Und dann habe ich gedacht, okay, Volleyball fand ich schon immer ganz cool. Und dann war das auch die Zeit, in der mein Stiefvater Sebastian Gebert, der hatte, glaube ich, jedenfalls auch da einen Einfluss drauf, dass ich da einfach nah dran war und das einfach mega cool fand. Und ich glaube, dann war es für mich relativ einfach, dass ich dann Volleyball anfange.
Hm. Hat Sebastian, dein Stiefvater, dann auch schon in der Jugend mitgearbeitet? Hatte da irgendeine Funktion als Trainer oder so?
Nee, gar nicht. Hm. Nee, also.
Jetzt? Hat er ja
so eine Funktion. Jetzt schon, aber damals gar nicht. Mhm. Wir hatten damals in der Grundschule eine Volleyball-AG und da war dann der Trainer wollte dann immer schon, dass ich dann vorbeikomme, aber das war halt irgendwie, hatte ich irgendwie nie so wirklich Lust. Mhm. Aber dann, hatte ich dann gefreut, als ich dann doch gekommen bin irgendwann.
Mhm. Und so positionsmäßig, seit wann ist es klar, dass du Zuspieler bist, wirst? Hat das sich geändert auch?
Ja, also ganz am Anfang, also ich spiele jetzt seit 6 Jahren Volleyball und ich glaube die ersten 2, 2,5 so ungefähr wahrscheinlich, war ich Außenangreifer, also war ich nicht Zuspieler. Mhm. Aber dann haben wir halt dann dadurch, dass dann im Verein wir einen Zuspieler brauchten, habe ich dann angefangen. Mir hat es echt Spaß gemacht und dann bin ich dann in den WVV-Kader gekommen. Also diese Auswahl halt aus dem Landesverband und war dann da auch schon Zuspieler und das heißt, seitdem ich dann das bisschen leistungsorientierter mache, bin ich schon immer Zuspieler.
Mhm. Und jetzt wegen deiner Größe, die dich ja auch zum Außenangreifer oder was auch immer, zum Diagonalangreifer auch prädestinieren würde, war dann eine Überlegung, nochmal die Position zu switchen?
Jetzt für mich persönlich nicht. Man weiß ja nie, keine Ahnung, ich glaube, es gibt schon immer wieder auch dann vielleicht mal irgendwelche Trainer oder so, die vielleicht irgendwas, nochmal irgendwelche Ideen, Vorstellungen haben. Da gibt es auch genug Beispiele, die nochmal irgendwie später nochmal so einen Switch machen. Aber ich weiß jetzt auch nicht, ob ich mit meinen anderen Fähigkeiten da glänze, dass ich, dass dann irgendein Trainer sieht, oh, vielleicht ein verstecktes Talent auf der und der Position. Mhm. Ich glaube, dass ich da ganz gut aufgehoben bin im Zuspiel. Mhm. Ja.
Du bist ja dann auch, nachdem du in Düren warst, bist du gleich nach Frankfurt. Hast bei den Volleyball Juniors in Frankfurt gespielt, da dritte Liga.
Genau.
Das war ja dann schon.
Das war ein großer Sprung, weil davor in Düren habe ich, ich weiß gar nicht, welche Liga das war, auf jeden Fall, in keiner, also es war eine niedrige Liga auf jeden Fall. Und dann haben wir in Frankfurt, weil wir eine größere Gruppe waren, waren wir in 2 Ligen aktiv. Das war die Regionalliga und die dritte Liga. Und da war die Idee, dass ich erstmal im ersten Jahr dann in der Regionalliga eingeplant war. Das war ich dann auch für den ersten Teil oder das erste Viertel oder so der Saison. Aber dann habe ich dann auch da schon dann angefangen, in der dritten Liga damit zu spielen. Ja, war ein großer Sprung dann in dem Moment. Ja.
Und bis dann nach Frankfurt, eigentlich dann zum VCO in Berlin. Das heißt, du bist ja ein Großteil, also ein Teil deiner Jugend auch immer von zu Hause eigentlich weg gewesen, oder?
Ja,
war
genau.
War das für dich so ein Ding, dass du sagst, oh, toll oder eher nicht so? Oder ich also, muss in den sauren Apfel beißen, wie war das für dich?
Nee, also ich muss ehrlichweise sagen, dass das schon immer so mein großes Ziel war. Dieses, also VCO, VCO Berlin war eigentlich immer so ein Ziel, da wollte ich irgendwie immer hin. Ich war in Düren auch immer in der Halle und habe da Volleyball verfolgt und habe dementsprechend dann auch immer wieder die VCO-Mannschaften dann kommen sehen und spielen sehen und dachte dann, okay, das ist so ja der nächstmögliche Traum, so den man so ein, quasi wie so ein Schritt, so der ja, nächste Schritt irgendwie, den man so als großes Ziel hat. Das heißt, es war ja, wie gesagt, mein Traum und dadurch war mir schon ein bisschen bewusst, okay, wenn ich das machen möchte, ist, da muss ich schon auch ein bisschen was aufgeben. Aber mir persönlich haben die 2 Jahre in Frankfurt sehr, sehr viel Spaß gemacht und auch wirklich war eine sehr schöne Zeit und dann auch das Jahr in Berlin war auch nochmal, ja, auch gut, um sich auch einfach als Mensch weiterzuentwickeln, weil ich glaube, dass das auch, glaube ich, ein Riesenschritt in meiner auch menschlichen Entwicklung war, diese 3 Jahre von zu Hause weg in einem Alter, wo viele wahrscheinlich noch zu Hause wohnen, wo man dann halt viele Sachen selbst machen muss, sich um Sachen kümmern muss, eigenständiger werden muss. Aber ich glaube, das hat mir echt sehr geholfen und ich bereue das kein Stück, das so gemacht zu haben.
War das irgendwie der logische Schritt, dann erst nach Frankfurt zu gehen, ans Volleyball-Internat? Also VCO geht ja nicht früher, das war ja,
ja
von
also,
den Jahrgängen her ist das.
Doch, es gibt ja VCO mal 2 Mannschaften. Also es gibt immer noch auch die zweite Mannschaft von VCO, die spielen dann auch 2 Jahre in der dritten Liga, also eigentlich quasi das gleiche wie in Frankfurt. Mhm. Nur ist es eigentlich meistens so, dass man an den Stützpunkt geht, der am nächsten von zu Hause ist. Mhm.
Wurdest du delegiert? Wurde dir das nahegelegt?
Ja, also ich war sowohl in Berlin als auch in Frankfurt auf so Schnuppertagen, also mal so sich das angeschaut. Dann ist natürlich auch immer die Frage, wo ist Platz? Was macht dann am meisten Sinn? Wo gehen vielleicht auch andere Leute hin aus dem Jahrgang? Also da sind dann verschiedene Sachen, die da reinspielen. Aber im Endeffekt bin ich dann nach Frankfurt und es war auch, würde ich sagen, auf die beste Wahl, weil ich dann da auch mit dem Jugendnationalmannschaftstrainer zusammengearbeitet habe, Dominik von Kehne. Der mir auch sehr viel noch geholfen hat. Und ich glaube, dass mir der Schritt nach Frankfurt einfach auch besser getan hat, als direkt nach Berlin zu gehen. Aber das heißt, man ist halt nicht ganz so frei quasi in der Entscheidung. Aber es hätte jetzt auch zum Beispiel keinen Sinn gemacht. Es gibt noch einen Stützpunkt in Friedrichshafen. Wird immer der Stützpunkt, glaube ich, genommen, der am nächsten von zu Hause ist.
Ist ja auch praktisch, um schneller nach Hause zu kommen.
Genau, das ist ja auch die Idee. Ja.
Reduziert das halt. Also bei Simon war es anders, weil er ja sehr weit von seinem eigentlichen Zuhause weg war in Frankfurt. Mit Simon haben wir ja drüber gesprochen, wie das ist, wie es gewesen wäre, aus seiner Sicht vielleicht zum VCO zu gehen. Und er kennt jetzt natürlich nur für sich die Erfahrung mit dem College. Was denkst du, ist das etwas, was du dir vorstellen könntest, ans College zu gehen, statt zum VCO?
Es war nie so entweder oder für mich, weil sich ja dann schon in dem Jahr, bevor ich nach VCO gekommen bin, hat sich schon ergeben, dass ich dann hierhin kommen würde. Das heißt, es war dann quasi das wäre der Moment gewesen, wo ich dann ins College hätte gehen können. Mhm. Das heißt, es wäre dann eher quasi gewesen College oder Lüneburg. Mhm. Und dann war halt für mich, also das war halt dann für mich eine ganz klare Entscheidung. Mhm. Aber auch so weiß ich nicht, ob ich diesen College-Weg so gerne gegangen wäre. Also ich glaube, dass das, ja, ich weiß nicht, ob das meiner, so von meinem persönlichen Gefühl, ob das meiner Entwicklung so gut getan hätte. Also da hatte ich irgendwie so Bedenken dabei. Ja, ich glaube, es wäre nicht meine Wunschoption gewesen. Und dann ist es natürlich auch sehr teuer. Da muss man eventuell auch Glück haben und dann ein Stipendium vielleicht auch kriegen. Und dann möchte man, wenn man ja dann auch geht, an eine gute Uni gehen. Ja, da haben, glaube ich, viele Sachen da zusammengespielt. Und dann habe ich halt diese Chance hier dann bekommen. Und dann war für mich das ja so eine einmalige Chance. Und das war für mich dann klar, dass ich das auf jeden Fall dann hier machen möchte.
Ist das was, was so diskutiert wird, was jetzt in deinem Jahrgang oder bei den Leuten, die mit dir die Station absolviert haben, worüber öfter gesprochen wird? Oder ist das jetzt, Simon meinte, also eigentlich eine Ausnahme, dass er den Weg gegangen ist?
Du meinst, was man nach dem Internat macht?
Genau, ob man eventuell, ob College eine Option ist oder ob das nur durch Zufälle bei Simon war, weil er jetzt auch schon mit Englisch ganz viel im Kindergarten, Schulzeit und so weiter zu tun hat, so teils englischsprachige Schule besucht hat, war das vielleicht auch noch ein bisschen einfacher, allein von daher. Aber
ja, ich glaube, man spricht dann ja schon, oder man, wenn man dann diesen ersten Schritt macht, Internat, dann geht man da schon einen bewussten Schritt in Richtung professionellen Volleyball oder dass man das auf jeden Fall anstrebt. Und dann gibt es da verschiedenste Möglichkeiten. Also entweder man möchte halt dann in die erste Liga kommen, dann ist das das Ziel. Dann ist natürlich ein bisschen die Frage, reicht einem dann erste Liga? Und man sagt, hey, ich möchte einfach mal in der ersten Liga irgendwann spielen und gehe halt jetzt diesen Weg und spiele ein bisschen Jugendnationalmannschaft. Und ja, das reicht mir dann so. Und dann fange ich irgendwann an zu studieren und vielleicht passt es halt irgendwie so. Oder man sagt, hey, ich möchte wirklich Volleyball-Profi werden, ich möchte wirklich in die Nationalmannschaft kommen und vielleicht irgendwann mal aus der Bundesliga raus in eine noch bessere Liga. Also ich glaube, dann gibt es da verschiedene Ansätze, einfach mit denen Leute an die Sache rangehen. Oder auch Leute, die sagen, hey, ich möchte irgendwie dann ans College, nach Amerika und spiele ein bisschen nebenbei noch Volleyball, aber finde halt diese College-Erfahrung auch total cool und gehe dann vielleicht auch eher nach Amerika für diese College-Erfahrung und viel weniger fürs Volleyball. Also ich glaube, da gibt es ganz verschiedene Ansätze, mit denen Leute oder mit denen Jungs in meinem Alter dann da rangehen.
Aber ist so trichtermäßig, also vom Volleyballinternat, VCO und wer dann in die Liga kommt, das heißt, der Kreis wird dann immer enger von denen, die dann letztlich den Weg nehmen in die erste
Liga. Ja, natürlich schon. Also wenn man überlegt, natürlich am Anfang gibt es dann auf 3 Stützpunkten, gibt es dann Spieler. Also gibt es sozusagen dann 3 Teams, aber am Ende wird ja dann alles auf ein Team bei VCO Berlin dann im Erstligaprojekt dann zusammengeführt. Was aber auch nicht ganz mehr so ist, glaube ich, wie sich das eigentlich überlegt haben, weil eigentlich war ja, glaube ich, die Idee oder der Wunsch, dass halt quasi alle Jungs dann aus dem Jahrgang am Ende in diesem Erstligaprojekt spielen. Und das ist aber ja auch nicht so, weil zum Beispiel dann ich jetzt auch schon nicht mehr bin, aber ja auch verschiedenste Jungs aus meinem Jahrgang nicht mehr beim VCO spielen, weil sie halt vorher schon aus diesem System rausgegangen sind, weil sie Möglichkeiten gehabt haben, woanders zu spielen. Ja, und dann da diese Chancen gesehen haben und ich glaube, es auch Sinn macht, diese Chancen zu nutzen.
Bist du mir noch vor,
ja.
Genau. Du warst beim VCO, glaube ich, aber auch bei den U17, U20 Mannschaften auch Kapitän.
Ja, genau.
Sei das bei einer nicht war. Jetzt interessiert mich das. Kapitän heißt ja immer, man muss was Bestimmtes haben an sich. Was würdest du sagen, was macht dich als Kapitän aus?
Ja, also ich war in, genau, ich war in Frankfurt in meinem zweiten Jahr dann auch Kapitän. In dem ersten Jahr, da hatten wir auch so einen Kreis, also so ein Mannschaftsrat oder so von so 4 Spielern, da war ich dann auch drin. Ja, ich glaube, dass ich bin extrovertiert und bin relativ polarisierend, glaube ich, auch und einfach sehr, ja, ich glaube, ich habe oft oder ich habe die Gabe oder das Können, Leute mitzureißen und mitzunehmen und vor allem halt dann Jungs in meinem Alter. Ich glaube, dass ich da für viele auch durch meine Art dann so ein bisschen vorangegangen bin und die sich dann auch an mir orientieren konnten. Also ich glaube, ich war da für viele auch so eine Orientierung. Ja, und ich glaube, dass ich dadurch meine Persönlichkeit einfach immer so ein bisschen, ja, dass da irgendwie alle immer so auch wussten, okay, Neo ist so und da unser Mann oder so. Also kann ich mir vorstellen, dass das so war.
Ja. Nö, können wir, glaube ich, bestätigen. Du bist einer der lautesten von denen, die draußen dran stehen. Finde ich sehr sympathisch. Aber du hast nicht nur Hallenvolleyball gespielt, sondern man findet dich auch, wenn man so ein bisschen recherchiert im Beachen,
hast du nicht viel, aber ein bisschen gebeacht auch. Und da taucht unter anderem dann auch der Name Felix Baumann auf, ja. Den wir ja über Königs Wusterhausen beziehungsweise letztes Jahr in Karlsruhe kurz gesehen hatten.
Jetzt nicht verwandt mit mir.
Nein. jetzt spielt er, glaube ich, in Belgien.
Genau, bei Achel.
Genau. Hast du noch Kontakt mit ihm?
Ja, also ein sehr guter Freund von mir.
Okay.
Ich habe ihn in der Jugendnationalmannschaft kennengelernt. Das war eigentlich auch eine ganz lustige Geschichte, weil am Anfang waren wir uns sehr unsympathisch. Also am Anfang konnten wir nicht so gut miteinander. Mhm. Aber man sagt irgendwie so oft, irgendwie wenn dann so am Anfang, wenn man sich nicht so gut versteht, irgendwie, dass daraus dann auch echt gute Freundschaften entstehen können. Und das war uns auch so gewesen. Ja, ich glaube, dass wir von unseren Arten am Anfang nicht so gut zusammengepasst haben, aber am Ende haben wir irgendwie so einen Weg gefunden und ich glaube, jetzt passen wir dann sehr gut zusammen. Und ja, ich habe mit ihm ein paar Turniere und so war oder auch deutsche Meisterschaften dann gebeacht, aber das war eher auch immer aus Spaß und halt einfach, man spielt mit einem Freund und spielt dann auch noch auf, ja, halt bei einer deutschen Meisterschaft, aber das war jetzt nicht so, dass wir da irgendwie trainiert hatten und ja, also es war wirklich eher so ein bisschen aus Spaß und mal schauen, was geht und ja.
Okay. Entschuldigung, meine Unkenntnis im Beach-Bereich, aber gibt's das dann auch bei VCO-Spielern, dass die schon eine Karriere im Beach-Bereich planen eigentlich, also da mehr Perspektiven sehen?
Ja, in Berlin gibt's die Möglichkeit, in die Richtung Beach zu gehen. Man kann aber auch eine kombinierte Ausbildung machen oder halt die Hallenausbildung. Ja, da hatten wir auch bei uns im Jahrgang, der bei uns Diagonalangehörer war und sich dann aber für den Beachweg entschieden hat. Also das ist da in Berlin relativ einfach möglich, aber zum Beispiel dann in Frankfurt, wo ich dann war, wäre das dann gar nicht so möglich. Also Frankfurt ist dann wirklich rein Hallenvolleyball.
Ich kann mich an die Fretschners erinnern, die sind dann, glaube ich, jetzt auch nur noch im Beach-Bereich unterwegs, soweit ich weiß.
Ja.
Genau. Also und seit 22 habe ich dann auch nichts mehr gesehen, so glaube ich, jetzt Beach-mäßig aufgetaucht.
Ja, ich habe letztes Jahr dann nochmal die U20 Deutschmeisterschaft gespielt. Also jetzt dieses Jahr, vor ein paar Monaten, ich weiß nicht, vor 5 Monaten oder so. Ja, die war halt auch bei mir in Düren dann und also es war wirklich einfach nochmal irgendwie so ein Beach-Turnier spielen, aber es war wirklich eher mehr der Spaß, als irgendwie da die Ambition irgendwie zu gewinnen.
Seit wann hast du das im Hinterkopf, dass du professionell Volleyball spielen willst?
Ich würde eigentlich sagen, seit Tag 1. Also seitdem ich angefangen habe, Volleyball zu spielen, wollte ich immer, also ich bin sehr ehrgeizig und mein Ziel war eigentlich immer, der Beste zu werden. Also ich wollte von Anfang an, wusste ich, ich möchte mal irgendwann der Beste werden. Ich möchte in die A-Nationalmannschaft, ich möchte Profi-Volleyball spielen und mein Ziel war früher immer nach Italien, Russland oder Polen in die Ligen. Das waren früher so die Top-Ligen. Also ich so angefangen, mich damit zu beschäftigen und das war irgendwie von Anfang an mein Ziel. Und ja, dann würde ich eigentlich sagen, seitdem ich angefangen habe, immer schon eigentlich.
Okay.
Cool. Wow, wir sind gespannt.
Ja.
Klasse. Ziele muss man da haben und ich glaube, da bist du bei der SVG gar nicht so schlecht aufgehoben. Ich glaube, das hast du wahrscheinlich dir auch gedacht, weil sie gilt ja auch so ein bisschen als Ausbildungsverein. Viele, die gehen dann zu Vereinen, die durchaus ein bisschen noch eine höhere Bedeutung in Europa teilweise haben, teilweise nicht immer.
Ja, guck dir Erik an.
Bedeutung beziehungsweise auch Geld, auch nicht unerheblich. Ja.
Genau, wie war das für dich, dass du sagst, SVG ist was besonders eher will oder war einfach eher der Kontakt da?
Nee, also ich erinnere mich noch, das war in meinem letzten Jahr von Frankfurt. Da haben wir dann schon überlegt, okay, wie sieht es nächstes Jahr aus? Und dann hat dann mein Trainer Dominik, der hat dann mal so rumgefragt bei den ganzen Vereinen und hat dann mal gesagt, hey, wie sieht es bei euch aus? Braucht ihr vielleicht irgendwen? Und ja, dann hatte ich Probetrainings bei Verein und dann halt unter anderem, war relativ spontan, hat er mir geschrieben, hey, Stefan hat gesagt, dass du mal einen Tag vorbeikommen kannst. Und dann, das war für mich wirklich, also habe ich mich total gefreut, weil Lüneburg natürlich dann auch zu dem Zeitpunkt auch schon ein Verein war, der jetzt oben mitgespielt hat, den man kannte, den man auch kannte durch die gute Arbeit, die hier geleistet wird. Und dann war das für mich so, okay, mega geil, coole Chance. Also ja, da habe ich mich dann total gefreut und das war, und als es dann in die Richtung ging, dass es was werden kann, war das auf jeden Fall auch meine Wunschoption dann. Bedingt durch zum einen Stefan einfach als Trainer, aber auch durch das ganze Konstrukt hier, was man da so mitbekommen hat und auch die Entwicklung, die der Verein nimmt. Also, dass er wirklich über die Jahre jetzt sich immer stetig eigentlich nach oben hin weiterentwickelt hat.
Hm. Ja. Ja, das ist ja für dich, gilt ja für dich auch, diese Weiterentwicklung. Du bist jetzt, wie viele Spiele haben wir? Wie viele Spiele haben wir? 10.
9 in der Liga.
9 Spiele, 10 Spiele. Wie weit bist du zufrieden mit dem, was bis jetzt gelaufen ist für dich?
Also ich glaube, dass ich mich wirklich schon sehr gut und sehr viel weiterentwickelt habe in diesen paar Monaten. Wo ich auf jeden Fall auch einen Riesendank an Stefan oder auch an das ganze Trainerteam aussprechen muss, weil die ja auch da einen erheblichen Anteil dran haben. Also ohne die, ohne den Input, den ich von da bekomme, ja, wäre das gar nicht möglich. Aber ja, ich gebe, glaube ich, täglich mein Bestes und versuche wirklich verbessert zu werden. Und auch das hier hinkommen und dann am Anfang gefühlt ja eher mal so der Schlechteste zu sein einfach im Team, das hat mir echt geholfen. Da einfach immer stetig an sich weiterzuarbeiten. Und ja, jetzt hatte ich ja schon, also jetzt auch zwei Spiele, wo ich dann von Anfang an gespielt habe, die dann ein bisschen unglücklich gelaufen sind. Aber ich glaube, dass sowohl ich als auch das Team da irgendwie draus was lernen kann oder was mitnehmen kann. Ja,
aber. Hat die Mannschaft nicht gerade für dich gespielt, muss man sagen.
Ja, ich glaube, da sind da viele Sachen zusammengekommen. Genau, und darum. Ja, bin ich eigentlich, muss ich sagen, relativ zufrieden mit meiner bisherigen Entwicklung und hoffe, dass es auch so weitergeht. Mhm. Ja.
War das für dich, wenn du, man hatte vorher so ein paar Vereine aus den unteren Bereichen von der Liga und dann mal Champions League. Wie ist da gerade der Aufregung? Ist das für dich gleich oder ist das schon nochmal ein anderer Schnack?
Ich muss sagen, dass ich von der Aufregung her fast am aufgeregtesten war, als ich das erste Mal gespielt habe. Das war, ich glaube, das war sogar bei dem Testspiel gegen ETV. Das ist also im ersten Testspiel gegen ETV. Mhm. Da war ich wirklich, das war mit so, glaube ich, mein aufgeregtes Spiel, weil das so mein erstes Spiel war im Lüneburg-Trikot und so, da war die Aufregung fast schon am höchsten. Natürlich ist dann sowas wie Champions League nochmal was ganz anderes. Aber da habe ich mir dann jetzt auch gar nicht so viel Kopf, glaube ich, gemacht, weil ich wusste, okay, wenn hoffentlich alles so perfekt läuft, spiele ich wahrscheinlich eh nicht. Ich glaube, dass es dann auch geholfen hat. Ich war dann durch das Spiel und auch wie wir arbeiten. Also ich versuche als Zuspieler immer Mike zu unterstützen auch und schaue mir den Block an, das heißt, was die gegnerischen Mittelblocker machen und bin dann halt so auch im Spiel drin und weiß, okay, was passiert. Und das heißt, wenn ich reinkommen würde, wäre ich dann auch heiß und wüsste, okay, was muss ich jetzt machen. Aber ich glaube, dass das auf jeden Fall auch geholfen hat. Und ja, also ich bin auf jeden Fall nervös dann vor so einem Spiel. Ich glaube, wenn man nicht nervös ist, dann macht man was falsch, glaube ich. Dann liebt man den Sport irgendwie nicht so sehr. Darum, ich glaube, immer so eine Grundnervosität ist immer da, aber die finde ich auch ganz gut.
Außer man macht es wie Gage, man konzentriert sich dann auf seine Locker-Room-Speech und danach fällt der Spannungsbogen ab. Aber ja, wir gehört haben vielleicht auch nicht die beste Idee.
Wer weiß.
Ist das denn gängig, dass ihr da an der Seitenlinie steht und dann auch einfach den Spielverlauf beobachtet, um die jeweiligen Spieler, die für deine Position gerade drin sind, noch zu unterstützen in den Auszeiten, dass du dann hingehst zu Michael, direkt sagst, und der hier, achte mal darauf, der macht immer wieder so und du mach mal am besten so, dass man einfach noch, dass du ihr quasi mitscoutet, wenn man so will.
Ich weiß nicht, wie gängig das ist, weil es jetzt auch mein erstes Team hier, mein erstes Profiteam. Ich habe von Anfang an, hat Stefan das auch sich so gewünscht von uns und das macht auch, finde ich, total Sinn. Ja, und das war dann anders, also von ihm war das dann auch so, als ich dann gespielt habe, hat er mich dann auch unterstützt. Und ich finde, das ist halt einfach auch wichtig, um da so ein gutes Teamgefüge aufzubauen, dass die Unterstützung da ist, dass ich weiß, ich kann mich auf ihn verlassen, er hilft mir auch da ein bisschen. Aber auch einfach diesen Aspekt zu haben, okay, dass ich draußen auch bereit bin und nicht das Spiel einfach nur gucke und mich davon ein bisschen berieseln lasse, sondern auch drin bin und bereit bin und weiß, was abgeht, wenn ich reinkomme zum Beispiel.
Dass du dann nicht völlig überfahren wirst, wenn du dann plötzlich, wenn Stefan dann plötzlich so auf dich zeigt, so, Neo, du kommst jetzt rein.
Ja.
Also, was geht ab?
Und dann, also jeder für seine entsprechende Position, für seinen Positionskollegen, was ist bei Gage? Worauf achtet der?
Nee, also beim Zuspiel haben wir natürlich die, wir Zuspieler haben ja die auf, also wir müssen ja schon ein bisschen schauen, okay, wenn der Mittelblocker jetzt bei unserem Mittelblocker mitläuft, da macht's, also und da committen, also mitspringt, macht es vielleicht nicht so viel Sinn, den Mittelblocker anzuspielen, weil dann schicke ich ihn ja also in einen guten Block gegen sich. Das heißt, da muss ich da versuchen, cleverer zu spielen. Wenn ich aber sehe, mein Joscha läuft diesen Schussball und der Mittelblocker steht rechts neben mir, dann kann ich mir denken, okay, da ist jetzt gerade eine Lücke, da kann ich ihn anspielen. Das sind halt so Sachen, die für uns Zuspieler relativ relevant sind, aber für Gage oder ja, dann einen Außenangreifer oder so, das sind nicht so, die haben nicht so, würde ich persönlich sagen, nicht so wirklich Sachen. Für die Mittelblocker ist vielleicht auch nochmal auch relevant, was der andere Mittelblocker macht oder was der andere Zuspieler macht. Da sind dann auch die Co-Trainer für verantwortlich auch mit. Ich glaube, da hat Ines ja auch, als sie hier mal war, ja auch drüber gesprochen. Ines macht ja eigentlich macht Ines quasi den Job, den ich mache. Also sie macht den Job und ich quasi gucke das Gleiche und ja. Also eigentlich machen Ines und ich quasi den gleichen Job, nur sie wahrscheinlich noch mal ein bisschen besser und detaillierter und ja.
Ja, sie muss sich darauf dann konzentrieren. Du hast ja dann auch andere Sachen, auf die ich konzentrieren musste, auf dich selbst auch. Ne?
Genau.
Ganz kurz einen Blick weg vom Volleyball. Was hast du nebenbei noch so für Interessen? Du bist jetzt mit VCU, bist du eigentlich, ja, da hast du das Abi gemacht oder die Schule fertig oder wie war das?
Ich habe in Frankfurt mein Abi, Abi gemacht. Schon. Genau. Okay. Und habe dann danach angefangen zu studieren online, Management an einer Online-Fernschule. Und ja, mache das jetzt auch noch, bin da aber jetzt nicht in dem in der Regelstudienzeit, sondern habe das halt ein bisschen gestreckt. Ja, weil das sonst auch nicht mit dem Volleyball vereinbar wäre, mit der Zeit, die man sowohl als auch aufbringen muss.
Also, um es für mich zu verstehen, du bist 19 Jahre. Du hast dein Abi schon und du bist am Studieren gewesen. Ja. Und okay, gut, muss ich erst mal schlucken.
Ja, also
ganz andere Zeiten als bei uns. Aber,
du meinst, die Inhalte sind weniger oder was?
Mit 19 haben wir angefangen zu überlegen, was man vielleicht mal...
Ja, ich habe mit 17 mein Abi gemacht.
Okay.
Das war, also deswegen, ja. Ja, aber bin da jetzt dann auch dran und habe das halt gemacht, dass ich halt, man weiß nie, eventuell bei einer eventuellen Verletzung oder auch, ja, es kann immer irgendwas passieren. Und dann war halt meine Idee, dass ich hoffentlich dann schon was in der Tasche habe oder je nachdem, wann das ist, halt dann schon wenigstens im Studium bin und das dann relativ zeitnah irgendwie beenden kann, dass ich halt dann auch was habe und dann nicht irgendwie mit leeren Händen dann auf der Straße stehe.
Siehst du dich da auch eher im Sportbereich? Ist ein bisschen früh, das zu sagen, aber es gibt ja auch Sportmanagement und ähnliche Sachen.
Ja, das habe ich auch überlegt, Sportmanagement zu studieren. Aber dann haben wir uns dazu entschieden, also ich habe dann, da hat mir auch dann der Olympiastützpunkt in Frankfurt geholfen, also Olympiastützpunkt Hessen, da so ein bisschen zu überlegen, was macht Sinn zu studieren. Und dann haben wir überlegt, dass es mehr Sinn macht, normales Management zu studieren, weil man da einfach dann mehr Möglichkeiten noch hat als mit dem Sportmanagement-Studium. Obwohl ich mich eigentlich fürs Sportmanagement-Studium entschieden hätte. Aber ich kann das Management-Studium auch so mit dem Modul noch anpassen, dass ich da auch Teile von dem Sportmanagement habe. Das heißt, im Endeffekt unterscheidet sich das nicht so groß. Nur habe ich halt am Ende den Management-Abschluss und nicht den Sportmanagement-Abschluss, was mir halt einfach dann mehr Möglichkeiten gibt. Ja.
Und das ist integrierbar in den Sportalltag?
Ja, also vor allem jetzt in der Preseason habe ich echt fast täglich dann immer noch ein bisschen was machen können. Ist jetzt in letzter Zeit ein bisschen weniger geworden, habe ich ein bisschen schleifen lassen. Aber also die Zeit an sich gibt es schon, aber ist natürlich dann immer auch, ja, man muss sich dann auch selbst da motivieren und aufraffen. Ja, wenn man dann vielleicht doch was mit den anderen Jungs noch machen möchte oder halt dann irgendwie, ja, so ist halt, ja, ist immer so ein bisschen dann der, ja, die Entscheidung, die man dann
treffen muss. Hast du dann auch eine Gruppe, die mit dir zusammen studiert, mit denen du dich austauschst mal so zwischendrin?
Nee, das ist wirklich, das ist halt auch ein bisschen das, ja, harte vielleicht eine ganze Sache. Also ich muss wirklich das Ganze wirklich einfach selbst beibringen. Also ich habe dann da die Studieninhalte und in PDF-Form und so Quizzes und ja, wühle mich dann irgendwie dadurchs Material und kann dann, wann immer ich Lust, Zeit und mich breit fühle, dann die Klausur schreiben.
Also Präsenzphasen gibt es dann auch nicht?
Nee. Das war halt auch wichtig, weil das ja auch nicht umsetzbar wäre mit dem Sport und auch mit dem Wechsel von Standorten. Also,
das ist der Vorteil an der Fernuni. Du bist einfach völlig ortsunabhängig.
Ja.
Das war bei mir nicht. Ich war in Hamburg und hatte dann halt da meine Präsenzphasen. Wäre dann doof, da nach Hessen zu ziehen oder so.
Klar. Machen, Nachteile immer gleichzeitig. Ja?
Richtig. Machen das aus dem aktuellen Team auch noch andere? Soweit du aus dem Nähkästchen
plaudern willst. Joscha auch. Und dann sind, ich glaube, zum Beispiel Theos auch eingeschrieben. Also ich glaube, es sind dann ein paar Leute, sind quasi auch Papierstudenten. Ja.
Papierstudenten.
Hannes letzte Saison auch, aber der hatte seinen Abschluss, glaube ich, noch gemacht letztes Jahr.
Der Hannes. Ja, Bauingenieur. Hatte schon einen Abschluss.
Bauingenieurswesen.
Ja, ich kann mich an einen Spieler in Lüneburg erinnern, der sagte auch, wenn ich nur Volleyball spielen würde, dann würde ich verrückt werden. Also ich brauche auch was für Geist sozusagen. Aber du hast da die verschiedensten Spielertypen. Also.
Ja, Gage beschäftigt sich doch anders weiter.
Ja, gut. Also ja, ich glaube schon, dass da jeder irgendwie so seine Sachen hat und manche brauchen das gar nicht, manche können den ganzen Tag im Bett liegen und haben nur die Trainingseinheiten und das passt denen. Ja, mir ist es halt manchmal dann so, manchmal ist es mal ganz schön, aber irgendwie so auf Dauer, ja, fühle ich mich dann auch irgendwie ein bisschen. Ja, schlecht, wenn ich einfach nichts mache.
In den sogenannten englischen Wochen, was denkst du, wird das dann auch möglich sein, dass du dann die Reisezeit nutzt, um noch was zu tun? Oder ist das eher, das bringt einen aus dem Rhythmus und dann kommst du zu nichts?
Nee, ich glaube, habe ich mir jetzt sogar auch vorgenommen, weil ich jetzt in letzter Zeit wieder ein bisschen weniger gemacht habe, wollte ich jetzt sogar auf dem Flug und so nach Sofia, wollte ich mal ein bisschen wieder was machen. Weil ich finde, das sind halt genau die Momente, die man eigentlich gut nutzen kann, weil ich sitze eh in dem Flugzeug und mache, also ob ich jetzt da Musik höre oder mir mal das nochmal jetzt mal meine Sachen nochmal anschaue und die Sachen durchgehe. Ja. Darum, das ja, ist schon kompatibel auf jeden Fall.
Und im Bus kannst du auch lernen? Also ich könnte das nicht, ich kann den Bus nicht lesen.
Ja, aber ich glaube sogar, dass irgendwie habe ich das Gefühl, dass das Flugzeug nochmal ein bisschen besser ist, weil im Flugzeug finde ich, da schlafen immer so alle oder hören Musik, da ist man so ein bisschen so mehr für sich. Und im Bus, da sind wir schon so, dann quatschen wir oder machen irgendwas. Und da interagiert man so, finde ich, noch mehr miteinander, weil man auch so diesen, man hat mehr Platz, man kann sich bewegen und im Flugzeug ist ein bisschen so, alle sitzen irgendwie bei sich und da oben stelle ich mir das vor, dass ich da vielleicht ein bisschen fokussierter arbeiten kann. Aber wer weiß, vielleicht komme ich auch wieder vom Trip und denke mir, okay, das mache ich nie wieder.
Na, und auf der Rückfahrt im Bus versuchen alle möglichst zu schlafen, beziehungsweise wenn es weiter Wege sind.
Je nach Zeit, ja. So gestern war ja die Rückfahrt wahrscheinlich einfach nur alle müde.
Ja, wobei, ja, oder ich glaube, haben auch ein paar gepennt. Ja, wenn man die Chance hat, ne, warum nicht?
Wenn nicht gerade ein Livestream ansteht.
Ja.
Seitdem du bei der SVG bist, sieht man auch Sebastian Gebert mit dem SVG-Trikot bei uns rumlaufen.
Ja.
Wie viel bedeutet dir das? Und wie viel gibt ihr dir auch noch sozusagen an Tipps oder tauscht ihr euch über Volleyball da aus oder ist das gar nicht so?
Doch, also wir reden viel über Volleyball. Und also ich glaube, dass er auch sehr stolz auf mich ist. Und das wiederum macht mich auch irgendwie stolz. Also irgendwie, ja, bereitet mir das irgendwie sehr Freude. Und irgendwie, wenn ich ihn dann so sehe, das, ja, finde ich wirklich einfach schön. Vor allem, weil ich ja dann auch weiß durch seine Düren-Zeit und also einfach, ja, es bedeutet mir einfach sehr viel, dass ich ihn dann so sehe und dass er mich dann unterstützt. Dann da im Lüneburg-Trikot rumläuft und er war auch der Erste, der direkt gesagt hat, hier, ich brauche unbedingt ein Trikot von dir und ich möchte ein Trikot haben und fragt mal Matze, wann die Trikots rauskommen, wann man ein Trikot bestellen kann.
Okay.
Ja, also es bedeutet mir wirklich sehr viel Und ja, natürlich, also nach den Spielen sprechen wir oft. Bei ihm merkt man natürlich auch, dass er die Erfahrung hat und dann anders als vielleicht andere Leute auch wirklich dann oft versteht, woran das jetzt vielleicht im Spiel gelegen hat und dann wirklich dann ja auch quasi so eine Expertenmeinung hat und dann wirklich sagen, ja, das war jetzt heute echt nicht so gut. Aber auch für mein eigenes Spiel, da kann er auch noch sagen, ja, irgendwie da musst du noch ein bisschen dran arbeiten und so und so. Und vor allem früher, muss ich sagen, war er einer meiner größten Kritiker, aber auch einer meiner größten Fans, wenn man das so sagen kann. Mhm. Also er hat mich immer so unterstützt, aber war auch wirklich immer dann, wenn wir dann allein waren, war er immer, ja, da und da musst du noch arbeiten, mach das und das noch, weil er halt einfach auch weiß, wie es läuft im Endeffekt und ja, das hat mir schon echt gut geholfen.
Hat er dich auch mal, gab es da eine Spielesituation, wo es dich genervt hat, dass er dabei ist oder konntest du das so ein bisschen fern von
dir halten? Nee, eigentlich gar nicht. Also ich freue mich immer, wenn er da ist oder generell, wenn meine Familie da ist. Es gibt mir eher nochmal so einen extra Motivationsschub.
Also ich meine, ich habe irgendwann mal Stadionverbot von meiner Tochter bekommen beim Fußball. Nee, du guckst nicht mehr zu. Ich habe mich dann auch schon immer, wenn dann 10 Meter weiter nach hinten gestellt, damit ich meinen Mund halte. Aber ja, das. Inzwischen fragt sie mich, warum ich nicht auch ab und zu mal komme und zuschaue. Ich sage, ach so, Stadionverbot gilt nicht mehr.
Ja. Aufgehoben.
Also nicht als Experte, aber einfach nur als engagierter Vater.
Ja, nee, aber auch die Streams und ja, also er ist da wirklich, schaut alles immer von mir und ja, schätze ich auch sehr wert.
Hast du dir, also du hast ja eigentlich einen 2-Jahres-Vertrag, jetzt bin ich aber gerade ein bisschen nicht gut aufgestellt. Hast du den vor einem Jahr damals geschlossen oder das heißt, wie lange gilt dein Vertrag eigentlich?
Ja, das wenn du war,
sagen darfst, keine Ahnung.
Ja, ich weiß ehrlich gesagt auch nicht so ganz.
dann lassen wir das vielleicht.
Ja.
andere Frage, was sind deine Ziele dann für diese Saison?
Ich möchte mich so gut es geht weiterentwickeln, dem Team so gut es geht helfen.
Ist das geknüpft an Spielen, selbst spielen?
Natürlich, also wenn es nach mir geht, ich möchte immer spielen, das ist mein Ziel, ich möchte eigentlich immer spielen. Natürlich ist mir bewusst, dass mit meiner aktuellen Situation und auch mit der Situation, in der wir uns als Team befinden, dass es da nicht, ja, dass ich da einfach nicht immer spiele, dass ich da nicht spielen werde und dass auch in den wichtigen Spielen, dass halt dann meine Rolle oder dass ich dem Team dann anders einfach helfe. Aber das habe ich total angenommen und glaube auch, dass ich da, ja, dem Team dann auch gut helfen kann, wie ja eben auch schon gesagt, dass ich dann von außen das Team pushe und dann helfe und also helfe, indem ich dann irgendwie ja einen guten Spruch noch parat habe und dann irgendwie nochmal einen auflocker und sage, hey Jungs, weiter geht's und irgendwie ja so mit meiner Art dann einfach da bin fürs Team. Aber ja, natürlich, die dann auch in der Rückrunde werden wir auch dann wieder Spiele haben gegen vermeintlich schwächere Teams und möchte natürlich da auch, wenn es geht, auf Einsatzzeiten kommen, ja, und einfach mich bestmöglich weiterentwickeln und dann steht im Sommer ja auch eventuell die Nationalmannschaft an. Da möchte ich natürlich auch irgendwie eine Rolle spielen. Das ist natürlich auch ein Ziel.
Jugend oder schon die Nationalmannschaft?
Sowohl als auch. Also okay. Es steht die Jugendnationalmannschaft an, es steht aber auch die Universade an, das ist die Olympia quasi für Studierende. Ja, dann ist natürlich gerade auch ein Umbruch in der A-Nationalmannschaft, wo man auch nicht weiß, was da dann irgendwie passiert, wer da irgendwie mal eine Rolle spielt irgendwann. Darum versuche ich, wie eben schon gesagt, irgendwie jeden Tag zu nutzen, um besser zu werden, um halt, ja, eventuell bald möglich mir da irgendwie schon vielleicht schon mal einen Traum irgendwie nochmal abhaken zu können.
Wo findet die Universiade statt?
Die ist leider in Deutschland.
Ach.
Also ich muss sagen, ich fände es schön, ich finde es bei so Events irgendwie immer ganz cool, wenn man da mal irgendwie um die Welt kommt und da was sieht. Joscha Lorenz und Simon waren ja bei der letzten dabei, die war ja in China. Ja, darum, ja, schade, aber die ist in Deutschland.
Na gut, aber trotzdem ein Ziel.
Genau, auf jeden Zufall. Fall. Ja.
Was lernst du von dem American Spirit? Sag ich mal, du guckst ja jetzt Michael ein bisschen genauer auf die Hände, sage ich jetzt mal. Bringt dir das auch was, so diesen anderen Spirit mal zu kennenzulernen oder was zu übernehmen davon? Weil da ist ja oft so dieser Challenge-Competition-Gedanke ständig. Also alle, aus allem wird eine Competition gemacht. So habe ich die Empfindung sozusagen. Ja. Ist das etwas, was uns, ich glaube, in Deutschland neigen wir immer dazu, ein bisschen eher das Ganze ruhiger anzugehen, aber so der Spirit, deswegen glaube ich, das ist auch so ein bisschen der Grund, warum Stefan das gerne mag, so diesen Gemix der Kulturen.
Also persönlich, zum einen, ich glaube, dass ich mir was dieses so Kompetitive, glaube ich, gar nicht so viel abgucken muss, weil ich das wirklich schon so in mir drin habe. Mhm. Also wenn wir so irgendwelche Spiele spielen, diese, von denen Gage schon eben geredet hat, diese 2-gegen-2 Spiele. Mhm. Ich hasse es, da zu verlieren. Und ich verliere nun halt auch öfter mal, aber es ist wirklich, also ich kann das gar nicht abhaben. Darum, also da bin ich wirklich immer total, ja, wenn wir spielen, dann will ich gewinnen, egal was, egal welche Trainingsform, auch wenn wir im Training spielen und wir vielleicht dann vermeintlich 1. gegen 2. Mannschaft spielen oder wie auch immer, dann will ich trotzdem gewinnen. Darum, ja, ich glaube, da, das habe ich irgendwie schon so in mir und bei dem anderen natürlich schaut man, was ein Michael macht, aber ich versuche mir das auch nicht zu viel abzuschauen, weil ich ja irgendwie dann noch so ein bisschen meinen eigenen Spielstil behalten möchte, haben möchte, entwickeln möchte und natürlich er auch seinen eigenen Spielstil hat und seine eigene Art und wenn man so ein bisschen von dieser Lehrbuch, Bilderbuch, Technik, Zuspiel zum Beispiel dann redet, ist im Endeffekt keiner der Weltklasse-Zuspieler, würde ich mal persönlich sagen, ist da genauso dran. Jeder hat so ein bisschen seinen eigenen Touch, seine eigene Art. Und darum, glaube ich, gilt es für mich, da so ein bisschen meine eigene Art, meine eigenen, ja, meine eigene Art so zu finden. Mhm. Ja. Und ich versuche dann da jetzt nicht, mich zu sehr irgendwie irgendwas abzuschauen oder wie auch immer. Ja.
Also super. Quasi eigenen Stil finden, aber vielleicht ein bisschen Inspiration suchen, aber nicht irgendwie, wenn jetzt was siehst, 1:1 mitnehmen.
Genau, ja, wir arbeiten ja noch im Frühtraining an Techniksachen und da ist dann auch schon, da liegt der Fokus dann auch bei uns, obwohl wir das Gleiche machen, liegt der Fokus dann auf verschiedenen Sachen, weil wir einfach auch unterschiedlich sind.
Ja.
Ich bin einfach größer als er, dafür ist er vielleicht ein bisschen flinker, das heißt, wir haben verschiedene Sachen, die wir dann verschieden angehen. Und ich glaube, das ist so aber auch perfekt, dass da für jeden so seine, ja, das Perfekte oder das möglichst hoffentlich Perfekte gefunden wird.
Dass du in die unterschiedlichen Stärken reinspielst.
Genau, dass man halt, genau.
Ist nicht jeder 1:1 gleich.
Genau, dass die Stärken von jedem irgendwie gefunden, ausfindig gemacht werden und die dann noch stärker gemacht werden.
Da habt ihr mit Stefan aber sicher einen guten Trainer erwischt, der das hinbekommt.
Auf jeden Fall. Also, ja. Wie eingangs schon gesagt, ich glaube, dass dass Stefan auch einen sehr großen oder enormen Anteil hat an der Entwicklung. Nicht nur von mir, sondern auch von allen.
Ja, also wenn du die letzten Saisons anguckst, wie sich manche Spieler entwickelt haben, das ist echt beeindruckend, seit ich es wieder verfolge.
Und ich freue mich auch auf eine geile Saison, muss ich dazu sagen. Also auch auf eine Entwicklung.
Ja, ja. Klar. Also jetzt ja eh schon.
Wir hatten eigentlich immer, außer letztes Jahr war es vielleicht ein bisschen anders, weil die Mannschaft von Anfang an schon sehr stark war, aber hatten wir immer eine Entwicklung von der SVG, wo man sagen konnte, die werden zum Schluss viel, viel besser sein.
Ja.
Es gab durchaus Mannschaften in der ersten Liga, die das nicht so waren, wo man das nicht so sehen konnte. Das war eigentlich durchgehend durch die Bank, bis auf die Saison, über die wir nicht reden, Cayetan, gell? Aber ansonsten...
Die wurde nicht immer gewertet, insofern hat die nicht stattgefunden.
Ja, es gab eine, die wir immer vergessen, ja. Nein. Aber ein anderer Job von mir ist zum Beispiel auch auf die Zeit zu schauen und die sagt mir, dass wir schon 2,5 Stunden jetzt hier
oh ja, wieder.
Sind. Solide.
Ja, Gage. Etwas, was wir gar nicht direkt so vorhaben.
Gage könnte passiert. Man nicht so gut stoppen.
Ja, ich finde auch Gage ist einfach wirklich ein... Ich finde, wenn man ihn sieht, er ist so verrückt, wie er immer wirkt, so ist er irgendwie auch einfach in echt. Also
ja.
Ich finde das wirklich einfach faszinierend. Ich finde es wirklich einfach immer wieder auf jeden Tag bewundernswert, ihn zu sehen. Das ist wirklich einfach grandios.
Ja, ja. Langweilig wird es mit ihm.
Nee, auf gar keinen
nicht.
Fall.
Nee, man freut typ. Sich immer, ihn zu sehen. Also ich glaube, das ist drittes Jahr, dass ich ihn jetzt kenne und immer wieder lustig. Egal, wo man ihn trifft. Selbst wenn du ihn beim Einkaufen triffst, kommst du auf irgendwelchen Quatsch.
Transportiert viel positive Energie.
Und ja.
Ich glaube, das ist ja auch der Punkt, wo er vorhin gesagt hat, auch Gage, glaube ich, gesagt hat, dass es eben ja auch viel Spaß macht. Und wenn das nicht dazugehört zum Sport, also Entschuldigung,
Das ist auch das, was wir ja auch beitragen wollen. Wir werden euch die Mannschaft unterstützen, wo es geht. Aber wir wollen unseren Spaß und wenn ihr Spaß habt, haben wir auch Spaß. Also es gehört da alles dazu. Ne? So ein Mensch wie Gage, perfekt.
Ja, also ich muss auch sagen, das Team ist wirklich so, wie Gage schon gesagt hat, irgendwie so mit so viel Spaß und da vergisst man manchmal vielleicht schon, dass es wirklich einfach auch ein Job ist, den man hier macht und dass es auch wirklich Hochleistungssport ist. Es ist schon wirklich vielleicht auch nicht ganz so, wie ich es mir früher mal gedacht hätte, wie es ist. Mhm. Aber in einem positiven Weg anders. Also ich dachte vielleicht, dass es noch ein bisschen härter ist und so ein bisschen weniger Spaß. Aber wir haben wirklich, wir sind so eine geile Truppe. Wir verstehen uns alle mega gut. Man irgendwie, jeder kommt mit jedem eigentlich aus. Ja, es ist wirklich einfach ein mega gutes Ambiente in der Mannschaft.
Das ist schon fast ein Schlusswort. Sehr schön. Sehr schön. Habt ihr noch Punkte?
Wir wollten noch auf die Möglichkeit hinweisen. Björn?
Das ist ja mein Teil, Werbung, ja, Rückmeldung, wie immer. Wir wollten es nicht weglassen. Wenn ihr Anregungen, Vorschläge, Feedback, Wünsche habt, wer soll nochmal als nächstes dabei sein oder nochmal dabei sein, wollen wir natürlich erstmal vermeiden, wir wollen erstmal alle dabei haben. Schreibt uns gerne, sei es bei Instagram, Lüneblog oder per Mail an lüneblog mit UE @svg-lüneburg.de. Wir lesen es in der Regel.
Geben auch eine Rückmeldung.
Wir melden uns, der Klassiker. Nein, auch wenn ihr uns in der Arena seht, wenn ihr wisst, wer wir sind, dann sprecht uns an, ob es jetzt gutes oder schlechtes Feedback ist oder ein Vorschlag, sind wir immer offen für.
Und ein Like irgendwo kann man bestimmt auch lassen.
Immer. Fragen, Vorschläge nehmen wir auch immer gerne. Da muss ich mich jetzt gerade auch mal bei Marlene und wen hatten wir noch? Lene, die haben hier fleißig Fragen
eingereicht. Genau, wir versuchen sie zu integrieren.
Dann genau, wenn es sich ergibt, nehmen wir die gerne mit rein.
Genau, und ansonsten möchte ich Danke sagen, Neo, war super klasse. Ich bin ganz stolz auf mich, dass ich keine Zeit heute mal Leo gesagt habe, sondern immer Neo. Sehr schön. Ich habe echt mit mir gekämpft, aber gut. Danke für die Zeit, hat wirklich Spaß gemacht, ist super interessant für uns. Und sag danke auch unseren ZuhörerInnen. Und ja, war diesmal etwas früher der Podcast. War auch eher im Dezember geplant. Ging immer einfach von den technischen, von den Zeiten, Abläufen einfach nicht anders. Und ja, dann sagen wir Butter
bei die
Hühnen.
Wir sind die SVG aus Lüneburg. Ob groß, ob klein, jung oder alt, wir ziehen das Ding hier zusammen durch. Wir sind die SVG aus Lüneburg. Und ganz egal, wer uns gegenübersteht, unser Block hält Stand.